It's easier for me to bring you up in post than bring you down in post.
Always bringing me down, Chris.
Yep.
What the fuck's going on down there?
What up? It's 236 in this hizzy weird WTF at TFW. My name is Vangelis on the internet, and I'm hosting today. Joining me is Aaron.
Is there a time that you're not hosting?
Like two or three times.
Like two or three times? But you said it like it's finally.
It's for anyone who's just tuning in.
Okay.
They're going to be like, oh man, I'm tuning in just in time for this new host. I'll be, yeah, I've never hosted this before. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Hey-o. Also joining us today is Omegas Prime.
Yeah, I've looked into getting a new host, but all the petitions seem to get ignored.
Yep, that's because, you know, I keep losing them, because it's people who work in my office. I mean, they're the ones who are useless, and I try really hard to take all your suggestions into account, but my assistants just keep losing everything.
Yeah, I finally think I figured it out. I probably should not be submitting the petition to replace the host to the actual host. I think that's where this is failing.
That's all right. I can provide you an email address that is secure and unrelated to me.
Oh, thank you.
It's evangelistcentral@hotmail.org. Aside from office politics, we're here to talk to you today about Transformers. And we have a lot of news. And it all came from yesterday. Well, not all of it, but a lot of stuff happened yesterday. A lot of stuff. I don't think this happened yesterday, though.
Yeah, this is the 21st is when it was posted.
Yeah, so this is a day or so before yesterday.
This is the warm-up.
Yeah, and you know, a bit of a lukewarm warm-up for a lot of folks, I'm not going to lie. We got a reveal of a new line of toys. That Hasbro is doing. It's starting off with Transformers, as it seems Hasbro often tends to hinge their new lines on, that are, you know, build-oriented. These are the Construct Bots. These might actually just be Transformers, I don't know. But these are supposed to be customizable Transformers. There's going to be a couple of price points, Scout, Elite, Triple Changer, and Ultimate. I kind of like how Triple Changer is a price point. And what these things are is... They are Transformers characters on bodies that are kind of like a base body. The best way to describe this would probably be Hero Factory or Bionicle. That's what they look the most like. Mm-hmm. They kind of remind some folks of Zevaz as well, but with the build aspect, like I'm taking a very big Hero Factory vibe off these with my limited experience with that line. They have very, like, and I mean this in a good way, like Creo quality robot head sculpts. Really strong robot head sculpts. And it seems like the base body, basically, like all these guys share bodies that pretty much share alt modes. Depending on what parts you put on them, it changes the silhouette of the alt mode. But like kind of everyone turns into a four-wheeled thing or a jet, and the triple changers turn into both. And then the ultimates turn into a big four-wheeled thing. So it's definitely... not something that I think anyone needs to feel obligated to get into. It certainly is not Transformers proper. It is another build line that is borrowing off the Transformers IP. I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm actually pretty interested in some of these, almost based entirely on the quality of the head sculpts. And I only just caught this because the other day I was like, I wonder if I missed any replies. So I searched for myself on TFW, which always feels really gross. And I found out that I'd missed a reply from the designer of the head sculpt on the Megatron construct bot, who was none other than our recently interviewed buddy Emiliano Santalucia. So
brown nose and left and right, jeez.
Hey, for Emiliano Santalucia collectors, who you know just may have picked up a Star Wars quad changer for that reason. Now I've got to add the construct bot Megatron to my list as well, so I can maintain my Santalucia collection. I'm getting its own little box and everything. It's going to be embossed. But I dig the head sculpts on these a lot, and I want to know what the build quality and functionality of the bodies are. I'm going to probably grab at least one or two, because I think they look neat. But I don't argue with anyone who's reacting to them like, I don't want this. Aaron, how are you feeling about the construct bots?
I think they're pretty neat. I definitely dig the, they definitely look bionicle to me, but that just comes about because it's all, ball and socket at every joint.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it looks like it's like, there's this almost like there's the skeleton frame that everything shares. And then maybe like the different armor panels or whatever are the click on off things. But
that's what it looks like to me, is different armor panels and maybe different bits of vehicle that are either make them like kind of solid or have pointy aspects.
Yeah. So it's all going to depend on, I think, for the quality of it, how well they hold together and how much they interfere against each other.
Yeah.
So if those armor things are big and kludgy around the joint, that keeps you from getting the full motion of the ball joint as I make like a ball joint motion between a fist and an open hand in the other hand. Which,
oh man,
is
that's
great
just,
on radio.
It's just gross too. It's kind of like
yeah. But I definitely think that this will be interesting. If I get any, I might probably only get like one or two, because at a certain point, you'd just be getting the different head sculpts and colors of parts. But
I think this is going to be a case where it's like, if your favorite character comes out, why not? Because the head sculpt's probably going to be good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Megatron looks good. The Prime, I think we only got one in profile, and it looks kind of big-eyed.
Hmm.
I really dig the Bumblebee though too. The other thing I see this being is potential kit bash fodder.
Oh yeah,
because with those heads and some of those parts could very well get used onto other things. And I'm hoping that the weapons that they're showing are 5mm. If they go with 5mm pegs and holes on everything, this all of a sudden will become very interesting.
Oh, definitely. And I will say, like go ahead.
I was going to say, the Ironhide, he's got a gun that from the one side has three holes on it. So that could very quickly become like the Crazy Arms Micron, stack eight of these on top of each other and make something.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
I was just going to follow up on the use of heads, in that I know folks have at least tried customizing, if not successfully, with Creo's head sculpts, because those things are so strong in their profiles and whatnot.
Yeah.
And these ones, I mean, I'm also sure, because Creo heads are a little bit rubbery to fit onto the neck joints they use. I'm curious if these are going to be similar, or if these are going to be a more rigid ABS, because that would also be really nice, just for having sharper details.
Yeah.
Omegas, how are you feeling about the Construct bots?
I'm actually kind of surprised how much I'm liking them the more I look at them.
Yeah.
I really like, I like the futuristic, I like the almost Cybertronian look that some of these have. As someone put it, and he'll rage at me for using his quote, Bumblebee turns into F-Zero cars.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
That's about all of them do.
Kind of all of them, yeah.
I didn't think F-Zero. I looked at these and I was just thinking like, it actually made me think of, because I was looking through Creator Lego boxes looking for that green robot the other day.
Right.
Because I want to pay less than 20 for them, so I'm being picky. these just reminded me of what I've seen on those Creator boxes. Like, they look like vehicles, but with very particular shapes to the edges due to the construction.
Right. See, Soul Fury, when he posted this, doomed me because he referred to them as Mugenbein.
I saw that, yeah. And I was kind of sitting there going like, that these feel, it's not like they aren't similar in some ways. I would more readily compare these to Hero Factory than Mugenbein.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I think Mugenbein just comes because it's like universal connector.
Right, right. Mm. Which will be interesting to me to see, not only if you can just make up your own robot, which is already kind of a cool concept for me, but if you can also create larger scale vehicles, if you could combine sets together and create larger robots, create larger vehicles, because I'm already really liking how some of these look, and, you know, very different from what we normally get. And I'm surprised at how eager I am for this line, and the way I say it, and I'll say it again, I can't argue with a line that gives me Blitzwing.
Yeah, this is the return of Blitzwing. To some people's chagrin, where the immediate fear was, this better not be the only Blitzwing we're ever getting for the next few years. I doubt it. But That was kind of cool to see. And they got his colors spot on, according to the photos I've seen so far. Maybe there's a bit of Photoshop tweakery, but that olive beige is, to me, looks very specific to my memory. I think what really works about these is the strength of their silhouettes in a lot of them. Like, I'd say that of all the ones I've seen, Optimus and Ironhide have the weakest look so far. They look the most like they were built from a construction line. But yeah, pretty much everyone else, like that Starscream robot mode picture looks extremely intentional. And the main question I have about these guys is how much disassembly, reassembly is necessary for transformation. Because some of them, in my staring at them, like Megatron clearly looks like parts are pulled off and stuck back on somewhere else to me. But Starscream, maybe because he's smaller, looks more like a self-contained transformation of just folding limbs around.
Yeah, Starscream's one of the cheapest ones, one of the $10 ones.
So. Yeah, and if the $10 ones are able to, like, just be designed to have modular parts that, when folded on a skeleton, can form the look of an alien vehicle, that will completely get me in. Because self-contained transformation always builds up my anticipation and how much I enjoy something more than having to pull it apart and stick it back together.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say I can't enjoy something that does that, but the look of Starscream in particular really caught me, and I was really digging the way that looked like it could turn out. I think that also Omegas's idea of how much you can combine these sets together, not just swap parts but actually stick them together, is going to be a big question. That being how many extra ports and sockets and whatnot are on these guys by design. Are they using every single socket available, or are they designed with like extra ones in the back so you can plug on more arms or something like that? I'm really interested to see how this is going to turn out. It's definitely, I feel like this is going to be bot shots again, where I'm super interested, and then for the first wave I'm super interested, and then I kind of like, you know, once I've satisfied that curiosity, I kind of like step back a little bit. But it definitely doesn't look like a poor idea. Certainly if someone's going to show these to somebody and say, look at the new Transformers, that would not go over too well with most folks. But this is clearly a subline. I think I said in the thread, I really want to know who's working on this, because, you know, Creo had its own team. Star Wars Transformers has its own team. I'm curious who's involved with this. Now we know that Emiliano did at least one of the head designs. So I'm looking forward to a panel presentation about these, where hopefully a little bit of chatter is put in about the behind the scenes. So I want to know what brought this about. This just came up out of nowhere, and it debuted on Geek Dad, which is an offshoot of Wired, which I forgot was still a thing. So that was also kind of odd. Like, it debuted on there, and then Transformers official Facebook, I believe, was like, look at the new line on Geek Dad.
Yeah.
So, interesting stuff. And I think these are coming out in the fall, so we'll probably see a few of these in the summer. So that's still a ways away. Although they look so done in these photos, and these photos even have the Photoshop filters attached, I wouldn't be surprised if fall is like the saturation date and we see these a lot sooner than that. But I want to know how they turn out, and I want to know I want to know what the quality is. Anyway, that's also one of the less interesting things that came up this week. So we should probably go on to some more news. I kind of tried to structure this so we kind of be building up a little bit. Even though personally, I would put the Construct bots ahead of some of this stuff for my own taste. I know a majority of folks are probably like, stop talking about the Transformer Bionicles. UK Toy Fair 2013 just happened, and we got a little bit of news. I'll just read the bullet points. There's going to be a new size class in Beast Hunters, which is Ultimate. It's going to be around leader size, and they're going to have Dragon Disc Optimus Prime and Predaking, and that Predaking is the larger one that we got a whole lot of in-hand images of at the New York Toy Fair last year. There's going to be a 5-pack of Legion-class Predacons, no other details. I'm going to guess that they're either going to be an homage to the original Predacons or an homage to Abominus in some way, because they already got, like, a Sinner Twin in Cyberverse.
Yeah.
UK release news, Beast Hunters will be released in May. They're hoping that 3 waves will come out between then and the end of the year. Totally going to have a 4th wave, and there's going to be a lot of rage by then. And apparently the UK release of Masterpiece Optimus Prime is in Toys R Us's hands, and I caught in another report that the Hasbro guy, when he said that, was apparently expressing some regret at how that all turned out. And the only bit of news in there I think we can take internationally is that's kind of like, for those who don't know, that really confirms that it's not Hasbro who makes the toys so limited. They make a bunch and they give them to Toys R Us, and it's up to Toys R Us to distribute them. And for whatever reason.
It's always a thing. It's hands off to the distributor, and there's only so much that can be done.
Yeah, and in this case, I mean, this last year, as far as I could tell, United States Toys R Us in particular has kind of become a lot less cool. In some ways. And so it sounds like if you want to write an angry letter to someone, write an angry letter to them, because it's theirs. And they were supposed to be the ones who were providing the toy, for whatever reason. They didn't do such a good job in some places. The other thing that came out of this, it's not up on the site. I heard there was a Hasbro takedown. Honestly, I don't see why, because the photos were horrible. But there were two very, very shaky photos of the Ultimate class Optimus Prime and Predaking. The Predaking, nothing really amazing to be seen there that hadn't already been caught at New York Toy Fair other than the shape of the robot mode. And it looks to me like the joints in the wings are a bit less robust than on the Voyager. The Optimus, we saw that he still had a green, I think he had green windows and still had a green star saber, and he had a big ass, like, Chinese god disc circle ring on the back of his shoulders. And I was just looking at that, and also a huge, really sick looking sword covered in dragon teeth. And I was just looking at that, and all I could see was Ultimate Optimus Prime from Dark of the Moon, like in a melee form, where he's turned into like the war god with like flames coming out of his deific ring attached to his back or something. I gotta see how those things turn out in person. They sound like they might be an upsizing of the weaponizer concept, or I guess a downsizing of the previous Ultimate concepts. But other than that, you know, it's some interesting news to tide us over until we get proper Toy Fair North America style next month.
Because we'll get all sorts of pictures out of that and actually be given,
we'll get press kits
photos. Get press kits, unlike the shaky photo. No, I'm not taking a picture, I'm texting to my mother. She's in a hospital.
It's always the UK. I remember that this all went down with G.I. Joe a couple years ago.
Last year?
Was it even last year?
Yeah, I think maybe 2 years ago. But every year, UK's a bigger deal. I think it's because they probably are going to have similar displays at UK and US, so this is the one that super leads everything else.
Oh, and they don't want to have this one spoil the enthusiasm can see that.
Well, they don't want to blow the information for it or whatever. But
I want to blow the load.
So, yay.
Well, Aaron, how you feeling about these little bullet points we got?
There sure are bullet points. I'm not surprised with the Ultimate class, because we've had is the whatever revealer and the weaponizer classes. Mm-hmm. We've not had the large. Well, we've had the pop out weapon Bumblebee and Optimus, but those seem
$30, I believe, price points.
Yeah, those seem like the super large kind of gimmicky size, not a full release kind of, like, sort of.
Going back to movie thought process, I looked at the weaponizers. Yeah. Much better execution of the price point, but they were similar, like, price point conceptually to the Stompbot things, like the power bots. Was that what they were called?
Maybe. Yeah, power but I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah. So that is definitely understandable. The five pack is probably going to be one of these normal kind of oddball releases in the US. I'd probably say that's like when it ended up being a Target exclusive.
Yeah.
Like, hey, look at these five repaints we threw together in a box.
Or whatever those Bot Shots five packs are. I don't even think those are exclusive. They're just a thing.
They've only showed up at Toys R Us so far, though. And they look good, but
I saw them in a Rotch a couple weeks ago, and I mean, I didn't want to spend the money on them, because it's a lot for a lot of Bot Shots, and I already have a bunch, but.
And then the UK news as well, UK news.
Oh. I mean, I'm glad that at least it seems like they can get that ballpark given to them. And I hope it sticks to that. I mean, as I made the joke, but, you know, they said, we're going to get at least three waves. And it's good that they said that. At the same time, it's going to suck if it turns out, like, Beast Hunters gets this magic wave 4 and, you know, they're left out in the cold for a little bit.
Yeah. You know, three waves still sounds really light. The rough thing is it's probably going to be wave one, wave two, and wave three from the U.S., not like we're going to take wave one and wave two out of the U.S. and make a wave one UK case that'll be...
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'll be shuffled out a little bit better. Which that's always the bummer that the non-North America people get shafted the way that they do.
They always have a harder time. Like, yeah. I mean, we said it many, many times in these podcasts, but if you ever see guys in the UK kind of, you know, bemoaning how hard it is to collect mainline stuff, it's because it probably is. And, yeah. You know, at the same time, a lot of guys in the UK, you know, they eventually hit that nice median where it's like, we all know it's hard. And so they don't kind of pound it in your face all the time. But
right. Occasionally there's something that frustrates, and that's like anything that's a frustration is it's, well, of frustration. But, you know, I think for the most part, the wise listeners that we have, except for the new person that just realized that Vangelis is the one that hosts,
spoiler
know
alert.
that things are as they are, and it's there's only so much yelling at the machine that you can do. Because the machine will just go, yep.
Well, speaking of that, Omegas, what do you yell at the machine about UK Toy Fair?
I don't really yell at the machine. I find a gentle whisper usually gets it done. Just depends on how you talk to it.
That's right.
See, I've got both of the weaponizer toys, and while there are aspects of them that are simpler, you know, it's no way in, you know, your Powerbot territory, just the big gimmicky, barely does anything toys. I mean,
oh yeah, they're a distant parallel that I'm trying to draw.
Cause, you know, for $30, I mean, yeah, they're simpler compared to what you're getting under the normal mainline right now, but they have the same level of gimmick and articulation and quality as like the Cybertron Ultras.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are very serviceable toys. So to see this upscaled to the now new Ultimate class actually has me quite excited for picking those up, because I'm still so huge on both of these designs, and that was just looking at the Voyagers. Now we have the gun ring on Prime, and whatever extras they're throwing in on Predaking that actually has me really looking forward to them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not going to skip the Voyagers for the Ultimates, as I, you know, like that with Predaking. I think the Voyager I'm going to have more fun with in terms of like jointage, but I want to see what they do with them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One thing the Prime line has been really good about is differing how the toys transform and how they function between size classes, so you still feel like you're getting a different toy, even if it has the same two modes to it.
Yeah. And so, with Prime, you know, in the Voyager, you get the jetpack. With the Ultimate, you get the thing on his back. The gun ring. The deity marker.
Ashura's assault.
Yeah. Grow some arms out of it. That'd be pretty badass. But, you know, this is all stuff also that we are going to get tons of info about, I think, in mid-February. So it's kind of, as I said, it's a nice little kind of tidbit to tide us over for a couple weeks before we hit the main event. Now we're going to go into new pick picks, and a lot of new pick picks came out. So we're each going to do one, and then we'll just see if we feel like there's more we want to do.
Okay.
So, Omegas, I'd like to kick off with you. What's a new picture pick you'd like to talk about?
Oh, boy.
Just go from the top down or the bottom up, whichever way you want to do it.
Start in the middle.
Yeah.
Right in the middle. Okay. new Perfect Effect bike.
That just hit. That news.
And I did that intentionally. I'm sorry, Aaron. I had to.
That just hit the front page while we were recording, so now I have a proper front page link I can add in.
Yeah.
I've been staring very distantly from these, but I believe this is the one where we got the shots of it, but they almost like immediately said there's going to be a Black Arachnia.
We got the shots. They talked about a Black Arachnia retool, and then the moment anyone got the toy, the comic book showed a Black Arachnia in the comic book. Just for reference, they're calling this Motobot Arania, which sounds like a drunk person who can't say Black Arachnia properly. Arachnia.
It kind of fits.
Yeah.
But it is an absolutely gorgeous toy. Like, even this being relatively unpainted so far.
Yeah, this just looks like it's just a color test shot.
Yeah. But it is very sleek, very vicious. The spider legs and all the modes just are reused really well. And they don't want us to see it yet, but it looks like they're working in a spider mode too.
Yeah, it looks to me like if anyone has this toy, a bunch of pieces come off of it to form weapons and stuff. And it looks like on this one, those pieces can assemble into a kind of spider drone.
Yeah, if you look at the legs that are on her back, along with, I think it's, because you see the one picture where it's like the arms are up and attacking, and then she has some other junk in the trunk. And if you look at the blurry shot, it looks like all of that comes off and kind of collapses down to make a spider drone, and then leaves her looking much...
Actually, all you have to do is click between the two robot mode pictures. One of them, she has everything on her. The other one, she has nothing on her.
Yeah.
And you can. I'm going to guess that all the bits that aren't on her are
because she's got like an arm shield thing that I think would make a good spider body. But the thing that gets me the most is underneath the front cowling for her motorcycle mode, she has two little pieces that are nothing but mandible mouth parts.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that yet. I love how those spider legs work into the alt mode.
Yeah, they give it like an aggressive, like, future bike feel beyond even just the normal future bike feel that you get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if only this was going to be my pick, and I talked about it before we started recording how it was going to be my pick, so.
Yeah, it's a shame that you didn't pick this for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Omegas, I forgot, did you pick up the Perfect Effect bike lady yet? Like the...
Actually, no, because I was holding off for this version.
Just wait for this one to come out. Not, you know, I'm not going to talk any mess on the pink or the blue ones. I got the pink one. I broke apart on it. I left it on a shelf for months, and I picked it. I was like, I forgot, does this part bend this way or this way? Oh. So that was a bummer. That was the bipod for a sniper rifle. But I'm actually... more interested in this one because this one feels like the parts swappage is a bit less bits and pieces ish to kind of make up some terminology. Not that I dislike the part swapping on the pink and blue one. It's still very intelligent how it's done, but it is a lot more like disassembly, like hard disassembly. Mm-hmm. This one feels like, for instance, the shield, which forms the back chunk on the bike, it feels like that's more of like a chunk that you're pulling off rather than like three pieces sandwiching around each other, which are two very different things that are both pretty cool. But at the end of the day, I do kind of like just pulling bigger chunks apart so I don't have to worry about little bits and pieces. And given the look of the front cowling of the bike and how that forms the kind of the chest of the robot, I'm wondering if there is still going to be some kind of like, use everything to make a bigger spider mode.
Mm.
Like the alt mode looks like it would be serviceable to like fold the front wheel back because that's on her legs, and then like just fold those spider legs out and use the front of the motorcycle as a head. I'm excited to see this thing.
Yeah. And hopefully they'll keep it at a similar price point as the previous release.
Oh, probably. I mean, this one looks like it doesn't have the sniper rifle at all. Those little bits, all those like side cowling pieces of weaponry look like they're like, it looks like it's pretty much a one for one part retool. Like I don't see much extra plastic being in this one.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, maybe the legs are using some more jointing, but I think that I would be surprised if this was anything higher than maybe $5 or $10 more expensive. Is there a date on this thing yet? Did they? No, they just updated the website with photos. Damn.
Yeah, they're just teasing.
Well, this looks like, I mean, right now, this is a definite TFCon purchase I'm going to make. Worst case. Omegas, I'm guessing you're definitely like just waiting to hear a date on this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And Aaron, what about you? Are you thinking about picking this up?
It'll definitely be a con drool.
Mm.
Before I jump on it, but yeah.
And there is definitely a question of color scheme going on, at least in some of the discussions I've seen on Twitter. Because mm-hmm. The big debate is, are they going to go for Beast Wars Black Arachnia colors or animated Black Arachnia colors? Or Beast Machines. Beast Machines Black Arachnia colors. I mean, there's...
As long as they're not universe, that'll make me happy.
Yeah. There's three very distinct placements and hues of purple they could be going for here. So I'm curious to see how it turns out. Aaron, what about you? What's a new picture you'd like to pick out? Don't even try to tell me you can't figure out something else to pick. I mean,
all right, I'll move down my list of picks to the Function X2 and X3 prototype images.
It's actually the next thing on the front page I was looking at anyway.
Now, if it makes you feel better, that was mine, so you just stole that one.
Well, if you hadn't stolen from me, then we wouldn't have to steal it back the other way. More Function X. I'm really, really dig code, so bring them. It's the weird, the not Weird Wolf and not Brainstorm to keep our not naming schemes. Do we have the fans project name for these, or just X2 and X3?
Just X2 and X3 so far. Then code we only found out because we saw the picture of the box.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be Wolf and Jet.
Brain.
Brain, yeah. Who knows?
Weird and good. Brain.
both of them catch the definitely have the G1 aesthetic, but you can tell where they've changed it up. I'm still worried that Weird Wolf still looks like he's going to be a stand it up type thing, but it looks like there may be some action with the torso or with the wolf body becoming something else, because there's a weird symmetry between the bottom and top half.
It looks to me like the rear half of the wolf body is the robot legs.
Yeah, that's what I was... Yeah, like the upper legs. Because you can see where the feet are folded up in the back of the beast legs.
Yeah, well, I'm saying if you look at from behind the front leg, the top and bottom of the dog's abdomen...
Yeah, they have the seam
abdomen
line.
And its back have a seam line, and they're symmetrical, so I totally think that that's going to pull out and twist, and maybe the dog legs will end up, maybe the, what's the dog hip will end up being the robot knee.
I bet they'll pull apart and flip.
So I'm looking forward to more fans project fun.
It's actually a really clever design quirk, because if that works the way it looks like it works, that midsection will be able to hinge back and forward, so you'll have actual animal articulation in the midsection.
Yeah, and to me the silhouette on this thing is very strong. It's got like the downward slope going on.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of people like this, but the people who don't like it have so far very strongly not liked it. And I will cite some of the things I heard. Really, just there's only one thing I heard that I really agreed with in any way, which is that his snout does look weird. I think it looks fine, but some folks have really been taken out of the look of this guy by the length of his nose.
Wolves have longer faces than dogs generally.
That's why and Weird Wolf to me always had a funny looking face. So I think this looks fine myself. I'm actually very impressed with how slim this wolf mode looks, because I mean, it's a taste thing. I never really liked the whole thing of like robot wolf who is like huge and bulky with kind of like limbs stuck on the sides. Yeah. Like to me, there is a more organic slope to the internal skeleton of this thing. And going by how nicely code turned out, to me, it seems like the feature on these is going to be the engineering of the transformation. Like that's going to be where a lot of your enjoyment comes from. And so seeing stuff like that seam running down the length of the rear half of the wolf mode, I'm really excited to see how this guy transforms and Brainstorm. Like I'm looking at Brainstorm's alt mode, and again, like I can kind of tell you how he transforms, but it looks like there's a whole lot of things that are going to break the usual way that original Brainstorm transformed, and I couldn't tell you where some of his robot mode mass went. Because it looks like there's a lot of hinges there that look to me like he's got maybe like limbs that fold outwards in a way where they kind of split in half lengthwise and fold out to get longer and thinner. I don't know. I'm going by my experience with code. I'm really ready to just mess with these.
Yeah. I'm really, really digging for it. And I think, I mean, I was more of an Autobot headmaster for G1, but I still think I like the Weird Wolf better than I like the Brainstorm. So thanks for turning my expectations on their ear.
This is probably a good time to mention as well, in the third party forum, someone posted some excerpts of a blog post that GZiToys did, where Jizai Toys talked about a thing he made 10 years ago that very much looks like code. And he talks about tweaks he'd like to make. He never says that he designed code, as far as I know. But he talks a whole lot like he did.
I don't see code being a toy design from a decade ago, though.
Well, no, you gotta see these photos. Like there was a thing he made a decade ago that is similar to code, but very different in many ways.
Okay.
And he's kind of talking about... Hang on, I'm going to find this link for you guys now.
Find that link, because you're talking a whole lot of talk for somebody that's like...
I just assumed you guys had seen this.
No, I think I have. This is the one with the wood prototype, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because, also, Jizai Toys prototypes his designs in friggin' wood, which is awesome. I got to go dig it up now. It's buried somewhere in the third-party forum. But basically, it was not a confirmation that Jizai Toys has any hand in Function X. It was Jizai Toys talking a whole lot about toy design as though he were a person who designed something that might have been code. But I'm guessing that it's being left vague for many reasons. One of which being that Jizai does get one-day licenses to release Transformers-oriented stuff at Wonderfest and events like that in Japan. Found the link. I shared it in the chat. But there are bits in here underneath the photos. There's some translated quotes from the blog post. I didn't run the blog post through Google Translate or anything yet, but the whole blog post is there, and maybe we can get someone to have a look at that and tell us what it really does say. But it's interesting, and if he somehow just puts up blog posts of similar toys for the other Function X toys, I think we can really kind of do the math ourselves. But that was kind of neat, because I would swear that this thing is the thing that I saw that one BotCon that may or may not have had Jizai Toys' name attached to it in conversation. So, I don't know. What do you guys think about wood prototyping?
I think it's cool. Was it, I want to say, 07, 08?
The train bot?
The train bot.
That was 08, yeah.
08, yeah. Yep. Or it was the Astro train and lumber.
Yeah, that too. Well, the one I'm thinking of was the Raiden train bot.
Oh, the Raiden train bot. Yeah, I think he had both of them, actually.
Yeah, this was right after I'd visited his store in actual Japan.
Yeah.
So at that BotCon, he's like, hey, look what I got. And I was like, what? And then he put it in my hand.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember he put the wooden prototype for a Raiden train bot right into my palm. He's like, here, look at this. And I was like, sitting there just going like, well, what do I do? I mean, like, I don't want to, I'm not going to transform it. I am hesitant to touch it.
Like, is having a hard time standing here breathing near it.
Because, like, is this wood treated? If it's not treated, am I going to breathe on it? Is this going to crumble to dust? I mean, like, why would you put this right in my hand?
You don't know me. You don't know me from anybody.
I was so terrified when he did that. I mean, he meant well. He's just like, here, take it. I'm sure it was fine, but I was just like,
okay. I could go crazy sweaty fanboy and run right now. I'll do it.
Because I think he was selling it for, like, four figures. Of money, and I was sitting there just going like, and he took it out of a little, he had it in like a clear case, and he took it out of the case, and I was like, oh, okay, oh no, you're okay, That was I wish that was a moment I had captured on film somehow. I was, I believe my facial expression was quite funny.
Yes, it was.
And then there was the time that I licked a blackout, but that's on Aaron's channel.
Yep.
All right. Well, moving on from there, I'm just going to continue down the front page and grab a thing. Next thing I think is most important to talk about is we got a color picture of Fans Project's version of Breakdown from the Stunticons. This is their multi-line thing they're doing, where they're doing a Menasaur, where the limbs are going to be Crossfire toys, and the main Motormaster bot. Sorry, the limbs are going to be Causality Crossfire, and then the Motormaster is going to be straight Crossfire. So we got these. I didn't know there was a second picture. Good lord. He's in a pose.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. But we got this photo of the robot mode in color of Breakdown in front of a keyboard. I don't know if this is a painted prototype or if this is actual production molding and coloring. but I really like the silhouette on this. Now, I really like the silhouette in general of the causality figures, and the, causality and crossfire figures. The crossfire designer has sensibilities that are highly in tune with my own. That just being, you know, lots of accoutrement on the shoulders, very specific shape of foot, a very specific slender silhouette running down the side of the body and stuff like that. So this is entirely up my alley. It's very anime, but in ways that I really enjoy. So I like how it looks.
Well, anime can be a good thing.
Yeah, it can.
There are a lot of people that say, anime, and that's not...
Well, it's an aesthetic, basically. And with Fans Project, especially with Crossfire, because how it is, you know, is Parallax has a guy in charge, and Crossfire has a guy in charge, and Function X has a guy in charge. And they all have their own very particular preferences, and you know, Crossfire to me very definitely is a guy who likes ball joints, and he likes like robot modes with very strong skeletons underneath. So I'm really liking how this thing looks, and I really like how many parts of the car you can see in places that you don't usually see them. Yeah. Looks like front or rear venting on the front of the foot, the tires on kind of curved on the front of the shin, as well as like part of the side of the car. The other two tires make up the shoulders. And the colors are beautiful. So I am ready for this to come out. I am just ready. I'm sitting right here. Just whatever. Let's do it.
The color scheme just hits it just right.
They got the right white.
Oh yeah.
They got the cream white.
The cream. Well, I'm saying like looking at the chest and even the way it seems like the colors flow down, it just looks spot on. These make it look like he's maybe missing something in his pelvis because he just has a big hole for a belly button.
Might be a screw hole. Hopefully there's a plug you can put in there.
Yeah, so hopefully there's just a plug that didn't get it in or something. But other than his big innie, it looks pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. And I mean, I'm certainly not trying to denigrate anything else here. The blue and the red on the face are both dead on as well. I mean, they look great.
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful mat. It's a beautiful modernization of the toy, of the character. I love how there's so much little things that don't really have to transform, but they still do.
Yeah,
it just adds so much to the look of him.
Well, to me, that's the anime side of it. Is everything moved somewhere, and it all has very curved and interlocking kind of weavings to the assembly of the parts. Whereas, you know, there are other aesthetics where it would be like two big tree trunk legs and whatnot. And I like that look as well. But this is a particular kind of very anime-oriented robot look that is right up my alley. I forgot how much Causality guys were when they came out. $50 each, I think?
Yeah, I think I got mine later for $60 a pop. So $50 original sounds right.
I can dig that. I don't know. I just want this guy to come out now, and I want to see some more photos. There's other stuff I want to talk about. Let's keep doing new picks. Do you two guys have anything else you want a new pick? You guys,
I have another hit.
All right, Aaron, what's your next one?
Bot Shots Launcher and Track Battle Assortments.
Really.
That also show that starts the jump shot, spin shot. What was the other one? Weren't there three?
Jump shot, spin shot, and flip shot.
And flip shot.
And then super bots are the old bot shots.
Yeah. So it's the new jumping and prime spins out, and they're still crazy and awesome. But now they have like the Colosseum thing. That's the big, what was that? That's the dragon track, since we really got to play into this dragon stuff. It was like $25, I think, so that it's the play pit thing. But now you can actually have your bot shots aim at each other rather than our random drunken pool table antics.
Those were some pretty good antics, though.
those were good antics. But I've had to stop myself from buying bot shots many times because it'll be a very dark path.
Well, I mean, they, to me, bot shots this year, they finally hit the wall. Like, when I saw Leadfoot, and I was like, well, I want to finish my records, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the rough thing is that they're kind of remedying now is it was all basically the same thing. They basically had three. They had the car, they had the big truck, and they had the plane.
Right.
And everything was a hardware, different stuff hanging off of it. But now that they have the different shot styles, I think that I may well end up picking up one or two of them just to be like, woo!
Well, I can confirm. I can confirm picking up a jump shot kind of revitalized bot shots for me because that's one of my what I got this week.
This is kind of what they really needed because I thought right from the get-go they should have been doing stuff like this where you could buy them and they're not just all doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know, like I've said it in videos before, you know, all I got were the first two three packs. And it felt like I had the same toy six times over.
Yeah.
You know, this would help so much in that. Like I'm definitely interested in picking them up now, and I want to know what's up with this new Megatron they've designed that's somehow in Galvatron colors, I guess.
And looking a lot more Prime style.
Yeah. Well, you can tell that the Optimus Prime that comes with that dragon track is the Beast Hunter's Prime. It's got wings coming out of the trailer.
Yeah. He's got like the kind of, he's got the chest too, doesn't he? Like with the teeth on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll talk a little bit more about where I think bot shots are going in my limitedly new experience later on in this episode. But I think that they are definitely doing what they needed to do. They had a year of seeing how the concept worked as a collectible. Now they're going to switch it up, make it a bit more visually interesting and engineeringly interesting. And then, you know, by 2014, it's going to again be, you know, should either retire it or figure out how to switch it up again. Make them combine. I can dig that. Omegas, do you have any other new picks you'd like to talk about?
Huh.
Keep scrolling down.
Yeah, there's a lot, but it is starting to get a little slim here. Choosing between, oh, we've talked about that one a ton, and oh, that's goofy, but it's new. Yeah, you know what, just to be goofy, this new Prime Battle Mask is freaking me out.
So I saw those in person when I went looking for Beast Hunters, and that's all that was there, were these Prime Battle Masks with the green stuff on the front.
Yeah.
What is it supposed to be?
I don't know. I suppose they're kind of going with that extra armor thing that Beast Hunters is kind of making into a gimmick of its own. But I don't know. Between having a Prime, for starters, there's a Prime mask now that has a mouth, which is odd.
Yeah.
When I look. And like enormous visor eyes, too. And for some reason, you have like a Jim Carrey mode. Like you can make him the mask.
Yeah, he's put down the green thing.
I'm not sure what they're going for.
The green is really bright in person too.
Yeah, no, geez, now I need to see these things.
They're crazy. But every toy line now is going for masks. So apparently there's money in them masks.
Well, it was kind of Hasbro that started it off with the first movie line. I mean, I've got the Bumblebee mask from Revenge of the Fallen sitting around.
I think
around.
The masks have been burning longer than that because...
Well, I'm still going to blame Hasbro because Star Wars was doing it.
And yeah. Iron Man was doing it a whole lot.
Well, yeah. That's still Hasbro.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not that the masks are a big thing. It's just that Hasbro has all the major lines that require helmets.
No, Power Rangers.
Oh, well, okay.
Does Power Rangers sell helmets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they've got just the little, like, Halloween-style masks, and then I think for the Mega Ranger, like, yeah, their Power Razor or whatever update, yeah, they have, like, a whole head mask.
Yeah, they had that huge Shogun helmet sitting around.
And then I think they've also had, like, video game mask things for a while, too. I remember maybe Operation Overdrive had one, I want to say.
Struggling to remember.
Because I remember seeing it kick around my Toys R Us forever, and then finally they put it in clearance for like 3 cents off of the price.
Like, clearance with a tag. And it was like, no, that's not that. Well, yes, technically that is a clearance price because it's less than the original retail, but.
$29.96.
Yeah. Saving all kinds of money up in here.
$29.89.
Oh. Finally, I've been waiting for that price drop. Yeah, but in reality, it's Toys R Us, so they jacked the price just before they put it on clearance so they can say that they dropped it.
Right.
I do not believe this masks. Red Power Ranger was originally $74.99.
I forgot about your guys' Toys R Us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to close up our new pick picks with one last bit of third party. Because we got a look at one more member who is now up for pre-order of Mastermind Creations' Feral Rex. Their take on Predacon boys. So they put up a picture of their version of Dive Bomb. Mm-hmm. And they put them up for pre-order. And it's over tomorrow. So by the time you hear this, you had to have made the choice. But for the first 5 days that this thing went up for pre-order, all the retailers who had them available were selling them for $20 off. So for like $70 to $75 rather than $90 to $95. And that's a great way to get people interested in this, especially considering that there seems to be a small Predaking arms race going on, although they are going for very different aesthetics. I'm all interested in the Mastermind dudes because I like their product. But if you want to start comparing them, I mean, both companies doing this have their dive bombs in pictures. Unique Toys dive bombs in color pictures now. So I want to see how this turns out, and I wanted to just highlight this dude because he looks pretty badass. And apparently his wingspan is like is around 18 inches, which is pretty cool. Because it means you're going to get one robot. Even if you don't end up with Predaking, you'll have this robot with an 18-inch wingspan and two swords, and I kind of like that. Also, I really like the name Feral Rex. I get it. You get it? Predaking, Feral Rex.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Got it.
It's wordplay. I dig that. Anyway, I think that for me, that does it for new pick picks. Is there anything else you guys really want to highlight that we're not already covering?
Highlight, not necessarily.
All right. We should just move on then. Or we're going to be here forever.
The new Creo is out. That's
everyone's real interested to hear that the new Creo is out.
For me, it's more the amazement that Hasbro's keeping rolling with it, that they've doubled down. So good on you.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Well, clearly Creo's selling to someone.
I'd like to see it. I honestly would.
I bought some Creo today.
I've bought Creo. But yeah. When I say someone, I mean someone other than, like, Transformers collectors with nothing to buy who see it for, like, 75% off, because that's...
Oh, well.
That's a sale that doesn't really count anymore.
I just about bought some of those at Walmart, too, but decided against it.
It's worth checking them out, is what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Last time I saw Creo on clearance, it was a Megatron sitting out on one of those little tables in the aisle. Just please, you know, in that please, dear God, take this away.
Megatron's section. A pretty good set.
Except this Megatron was ripped open, and I don't think any of the parts were there anymore.
So it's just
basically
a box.
They had an $8 price tag on an empty box.
Yeah, one of my Walmarts had quite a bit of it on a super low clearance, but I just. It was all that first release stuff that was just not quite what I wanted. Even at like 80% off. Responsibility.
Building block snob. Unbelievable. Yeah, a lot of them were not that amazing. But the Megatron I will always recommend. That was a turnaround thing that I picked up. That was the second Creo set I picked up. The first one made me go, huh. And the second one was him. And I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, we should move on from there. So we have one other piece of news that came up yesterday. We got via Big Bad Toy Store, who I'm assuming have enough of a track to be able to make this go up as a pre-order without the risk of it not actually panning out. Apparently, the next two Masterpiece toys to come out, they're going to do another doubling up of Autobots from 84. It's going to be Prowl and Smokescreen the Fair Lady Zeds. So we got some fair ladies showing up in Masterpiece. First thing everyone said is, where's Blue Streak? Second thing everyone said is, will he be blue? Who knows? But we're getting Prowl, and we're getting the very much doesn't look like Prowl redeco in Smokescreen, apparently. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to guess these are going to be a lot like Masterpiece Sideswipe. And if they are, I'm all for it. I know a lot of people reacted to this in mixed ways. Because, I mean, some folks are like generally, hey, it's Prowl, hooray. A lot of folks are like, oh, the Fair Lady Z's, call me later, because I don't care. To me, this is tremendously interesting, because the engineering on Sideswipe was so cool. I want to see the engineering of that style done on the Fair Lady Z model.
Yeah, because who would have been like, Sideswipe is going to be the one that makes you rethink Masterpiece?
Yeah. I just want to see them do stuff like they did on Sideswipe, like just clever ways of having transformation happen. And like the only thing I'd say that I really want to see improved from Sideswipe is please double jointed elbows. Like, please. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm asking for much there. I don't even care about the knees. Just give me those double jointed elbows. But other than that, I really want to see how these turn out. I'm all in. Like, I really think Sideswipe was a great toy. And Prowl, I'm also really into because I've been catching up on the comics. So
yeah.
I'm pretty excited. Smokescreen, I just want to see his deco. If his deco turns out clean, that could be really nice looking. But Aaron, how are you feeling about this Masterpiece revelation?
I was in the momentary, no blue streak, but then it was like, well, Prowl is police car, Smokescreen is rally car, generic car is probably like going to be the maybe down the line when they need a month or two of lag. Is a good thing to drop in later, but you have very iconic looking things versus very bland looking thing. Yeah, let the bland one go for later. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm excited. I've really been digging Prowl again because of IDW, so I think that one will be the one that I throw on pre-order, especially since they're staying low and the yen to every other currency conversion is getting better and better, so let's hope that maybe I can find it cheaper than the $80 at Big Bad.
That'd be cool.
But I'm looking forward to them.
And Omegas, what about you? How are you feeling about seeing the Fair Ladies in Masterpiece form?
It definitely has me excited. And it wasn't a hard one to call them doing, because it's one of those that, yeah, we could get plenty of repaints out of. But that just made me more confident that we were going to get it. I'm glad we're getting it. I'm not glad that my favorite of the three is being ignored for the time being.
Yep. Well, he's the one that seems like the real easy e-hobby job. Like, Aaron's theory could be for the silver one, then e-hobby will probably do a blue one.
Well, we know what e-hobby likes to do. I mean, we're getting... What, are they the one doing Tiger Tracks?
No, that's going to be a convention exclusive, apparently.
Oh, jeez. Convention exclusive. Jeez. But still, I mean, e-hobby, they're great for, like, the random repaints, you know, the chaotic ones that you don't normally get. But I wouldn't predict them to release a masterpiece like this. Specifically one that is a main character. One that was technically around longer than Smokescreen.
Well, that's why I think that if e-hobby's going to do one, it would be the blue streak. Mm-hmm. I want to say that they did that... They did the blue streak G1 reissue.
They did a chrome streak. I remember that one.
Oh yeah, the quote unquote anime colors,
right?
Streak. But I swear they were the ones who were going to do a blue one as well. What am I thinking?
I can't remember now. It'd be a crazy one for them to do, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think another part of me is really happy for this because I never actually got any of the Fair Lady Z molds.
Oh.
Really?
Well, I don't know. It's just, like, I never saw the reissues at my Toys R Us, and I never really went back to pick any of them up, so it's not a mold or design I've ever experienced.
Going to put on my fanboy armor here for a momentary thing. Those mm-hmm. G1 toys, not all that thrilling.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah, I'm gonna counter just for a sec to say that...
I will say this.
They had great arm articulation.
Yeah, and if you never had them and got them as an adult, of many G1 toys, the Fairlady Z is one that I think is more impressive mm-hmm. when you get him as an adult than some of the other ones.
Yeah,
that,
well,
that your very political way of making everything seem just okay is just okay.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I have gotten reissues of the G1 toys before, though, and I've been quite happy with them. Yeah. I mean, yes, it's the novelty of, oh, it's the old toys I used to play with as a kid, but it's also the novelty of this is what I missed in my childhood, and I can still enjoy them for what they are and what they do. Mm-hmm. In the case of Prowl, as a kid, I can remember going to my aunt's house, and there's just this box of just, like, random, like, yard sale toys just thrown about just in case... any of the kids in the family were staying there for the weekend or whatnot. And in that box, there was half a Prowl. So he was always my G1 movie Prowl.
Mm-hmm.
Post-mortem, he was the battle damage one on the battlefield. So I've gotten to play with half of this toy. Mm. And I've always wanted to play with the other half.
Was it the upper half?
It was the upper half.
It is the better half.
Okay, good to know.
Somebody threw away the junk part of it.
Yeah. I mean, I like the G1 Prowl of a lot of the G1 cars. I like because I think he has a really nicely shaped vehicle mode. And his robot mode also has a very nice shape to it for, you know, a late 70s design toy.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a nice look to it, I think. And some of the other G1 toys, the Diaclone-based G1 toys, I definitely don't think that as much. I know Skids kind of disappointed me. For some reason, I thought there was going to be more in Skids. And, you know, going past that, there are some big disappointments, like when you pay your 90-some bucks for your G1 Chrome Dome, and you see how he transforms, and you're like, wow, that's all. So I think that the G1 Prowl... had a lot to them. G1 Prowl and Jazz, I mean, they're almost the same. They were two toys that I thought, as hyper-retro toys, stood the test of time more than some of the other ones. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be a lot more interesting to look at, a masterpiece. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be questions here of, like, do they try to do the classics thing of building in the shoulder rockets, or do they make them extra pieces? I will almost guarantee you, since one of these has has lights on the top, and the other one doesn't, there's going to be a roof-based weapon storage system, like on Alert and Sideswipe, because the way that Red Alert's light bar sticks in is it uses Sideswipe's roof storage for the weapons, like literally right down to Red Alert still having a spring in it, and I think you can probably just pull the light bar out and make him a white Porsche. But yeah, we're going to see pictures of these, hopefully, because apparently these are coming out in the summer, which is also a bit of a surprise. It seems like the current pattern might be mid-year small Autobot, late year or winter big Decepticon for Masterpiece if they decide to work into some kind of pattern. And I heard there are the rumors going around right now, the very take with a huge grain of salt rumors are that the next big Masterpiece might be Galvatron. That'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Given the shots I've seen of Masterpiece Soundwave standing next to MP11 Starscream, they really need to do a new Megatron.
Yeah.
There's literally a hole in those pictures when you look at them, and the current Masterpiece Megatron can't really fill that hole all that well. So that's one I'd really love to see them get some work done on, but it's also going to be one of the harder ones to do, because, I mean, I think that of the toys who have less dynamic alt modes between Soundwave and Megatron, Soundwave still gets away with it better. Megatron, I think, is always kind of sidled with, like, he's got to turn into a pistol, and that's always going to be kind of a doofy thing to do. Toy World's Hegemon did some really great stuff with that transformation, but at the end of the day, also, it turns into a gun, and he looks kind of just silly. I mean, like, Soundwave turns into a box. That toy has a lot of stuff going on in it that really equals that out, but
yeah.
It also turns into a box. So, I don't know. Let's move on from there, because anything else, we're just going to be speculating. We're going to get some pictures of this, hopefully sooner than later. We've got a listener question from Oblivion's Left Hand, who sent this in some time ago. By the way, this question will have spoilers for the season finale of Transformers Prime Season 2, so if you still haven't seen that, you might want to skip ahead. This is literally spoiling the final minute of that final episode of Season 2. So, FYI. Anyway, the question reads, "Hello, Cho, Gatai, King, Robo-Vangelis, and friends. It's OLH again with my ellipses fourth. I think it's my fourth listener question. Don't bother correcting me if I'm wrong. Aaron, correct him." I don't care if you're accurate, just...
No, you can count to four.
All right.
You can do that on one hand most times.
He continues by saying, "At the time I'm writing this, Season 2 of Prime has ended, and Optimus Prime is, spoiler alert, apparently dead. As far as I can remember, the only other time this has happened was back in the G1 movie." It's not the only time this has happened. Optimus Prime has a habit of dying. In the long run of Transformers. Famously in Armada, Optimus Prime died for an episode with a full, like, gratuitous, like, play it out, have him turn gray and dissolve into dust death sequence, and I believe literally the next episode he came back to life.
Oh, no. It was... No, I double-checked this because of this question.
Uh-huh.
Because I actually really liked that death because it came out of nowhere and it was kind of dramatic.
Yeah, I know! It was...
But here's the thing. It was three episodes he stayed dead.
Mm.
You don't remember that. You don't remember the period in between because that was when Hotshot was the leader of the Autobots, and no one likes to talk about that time.
Mm. Yeah, I was really sure that it was only for one episode. I wonder why I misremembered that. Probably because I haven't seen Armada for nearly 10 years. Anyway, his question to us is: how do you think Optimus's most recent death compares to his G1 death? Are there any other deaths from a television or comic series I'm unaware of or forgetting? And if so, how does it they compare? Well, there's one right there. From your discussions up to this point, none of you apparently expected Optimus to be the one to die at the end of the season. Was that a big shock for you as it was for me? Because I was stuttering for at least five... Sorry, I was stuttering for at least 5 minutes after I saw that. It wasn't enough of a shock for me to go, I can't believe they did that, because if anyone's going to die in a Transformers show... You can flip a coin, and if it comes up one way, it's Optimus Prime, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, animated even kind of killed him in the first episode, briefly.
Yeah. 75 seconds.
He died in the G1 comic book because he lost he cheated winning a computer game or something like that. It was dishonorable.
I know this one too.
Mm-hmm.
He broke his moral code because the civilians in the game world got injured defeating Megatron. So he volunteered to be destroyed as a result of killing the fake people.
Yep.
And that was my favorite death because we found out that a Cybertronian brain can be stored on a 1.44 megabyte floppy disk.
It's real expedient data heavy compression. Yeah. Alien compression. What else is he died at the end of Beast Wars Season 1? That was another one.
Yeah. And
very briefly, he died. So anyway, Optimus died a lot. The one in Prime, I think it's definitely not one of the worst ways he's been killed. There was drama to it. There was a bit of build-up to it. It was definitely not like... I don't think it was crappily done or anything. But, you know, I didn't go into that episode thinking like, yep, Optimus Prime's going to die. But, you know, when they decided to have him look like he's dead at the end of the episode, I was kind of like, well, there's our big cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, you know, like, holy crap, they killed Optimus Prime. Because, I mean, they did it in Revenge of the Fallen, didn't they? In the forest battle sequence, he basically gets killed.
Yeah. And,
yeah, Optimus Prime dies a lot. Like, that's it's one of his tenets, almost. He also died at the end of the comic book. After he came back to life, he died again at the end of the comic book. He died at the end of G2 as well, didn't he? The G2 comic book?
He died once in the G2 comic book, too. He died like three times in the Marvel comics.
Yeah, he let the swarm eat him so that he would explode and then be reborn as combat hero Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And he died in the G1 movie, and then he also died in the Headmasters series in Japan, where
We talked about this in the last episode for us.
Did we?
We went on rants about him telling this poor human child he's kidnapped about the many times he's died.
Oh, yeah. In the space of season three, yeah. In Dark Awakening, he goes kind of back to life briefly. But, I mean, in Headmasters, I believe, canonically, he died in the movie, then they brought him back to life, and then he died again in Headmasters as soon as it started.
Right.
So, anyway, Optimus Prime dies a lot. That's really the moral to this story. Aaron, how did the end of season two of Prime Death strike you? Were you shocked, or were you kind of just taking it as it was?
It was a little bit of an oh-sh moment, but in a retrospect, it definitely was. Yeah, that's a season cliffhanger. Something's got to happen, and Optimus Prime dying is a very solid thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although we're seeing Beast Hunter's toys in multiple sizes, so I doubt it's going to be a permanent death. I mean, I'm just guessing here.
Yeah, a little just roll of the dice. Yeah. Seeing how it's going to turn out. I will say, I'm trying to not be, the smug guy talking about this in hindsight. I distinctly recall when I watched the episode, GM Fan 101 was over here to watch it with me. And I do not believe I was really shocked so much as going, well, that was an interesting... That's a cliffhanger. That's a good idea for a cliffhanger.
Right.
Among the cliffhangers we could have.
Right. Especially with the power of the Primes being a thing that derives the super duper technology, it kind of has the interest of how to deal with things, you know, if all of a sudden, you know, Megatron's lost his Prime arm and then Prime is out of commission. How are we going to power these super things? They don't talk about that, but that was a momentary thought of, this could be an issue.
Yeah. Omegas, how'd you take the end of season two of Prime?
Honestly, I am so used to Prime dying, I don't think I had a reaction.
It was just a plot point that happened?
Yeah, I was more... Yeah, because, okay, the Autobot base is destroyed, the team is scattered, the Decepticons have built Kefka's tower.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all I could think of. And then Prime's arms just sticking out of the rubble. It was just and there's our hook for the next season. Okay. Honestly, until this was asked, it didn't even register in my head that he was dead.
Yeah, I mean, it was... It's heavily implied, but I don't know. Given the way season one ended, I also was looking at it, immediately thought okay, so we're going to have basically the status quo of Optimus Prime left as the question over the season break. And as the big question. There are more questions going into season three than just that, as opposed to season two starting off mostly with what's up with Optimus Prime. But I don't mean to make anyone feel like they were wrong for being really shocked by it happening, because this is also, I'm coming from this as having watched Transformers on TV for over 10 years, because I totally have a life. So I'm used to seeing Optimus Prime get put into grave peril and kind of resurrect just in time to have a new toy come out, etc., etc. There was an additional question that OLH sent in that I padded in here as well, which is if that really was... just Prime's severed arm, do you think Megatron would cut off his other arm and stick that one on to regain the ability to use Prime-centric artifacts, or are you just hoping they drop that plot point altogether? I don't want them to drop the plot point, because that'll make it feel like Season 2 was a colossal waste of time if they just drop it. I will have trouble not making jokes about it if Megatron takes Optimus's severed arm and sticks it onto himself in place of the other arm that he had amputated and summarily cut off later on, because that's going to start feeling in-jokey to the point of, putting the word red in front of things, because it makes me think that that's funny. So I don't want him to drop that plot point. I would just really like it. If it's not going to continue on in a solid way, a clean resolution would be good. Mm-hmm. And I mean, clean resolutions, clean may be the questionable part for a lot of folks, but Prime it does resolve things. It states the resolutions when they happen, you know, even if they do happen very fast or not in the way I would prefer. So I don't want him to drop that plot point, because then what was the point of that last season? if it's all just going to be like, so we're starting off season three and we're just not even going to mention the relics. Like, that would make me a little bit sad. Omegas, what about you? Do you think that the notion of using Optimus's arm as another amputated arm would be funny, or are you hoping they get rid of it, or what?
The way this Megatron works, I almost want him to just keep it as a trophy.
It's hanging over his chair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just like stuck on top of his throne.
Turn it into a pimp cane.
There you go.
He sleeps with it.
Honestly, I don't want the plot point of the relics to be dropped, but I would want their influence to be lessened, and I really wouldn't want them to rehash what they were going through before. Because the whole reason Megatron chopped off his arm in the first place was so he could use the Forge of Solidus. Or, I'm not even sure if I got that name right. Hang on.
Solidus was Solid Snake's boss or something.
Yeah.
And he had octopus arms.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Solidus. Okay?
He had an eye patch and...
Yeah. Big hammer. So he could use Big Hammer.
Yeah, the Forge of Solus Prime.
Words no longer make right.
I just really want Kojima to do Prime Season 3.
Jeez. Just a lot of talking in it, though.
Well, some might say there already is a whole lot of... Yeah.
There's a Viacon in the corner. It's always on the toilet. Anyway, no, the whole point was so he could use the Forge. You know, mm-hmm. But he's lost the Forge. So he really doesn't have a point of hacking off his arm again.
He's just addicted now. He's like, nah, I don't like having silver arms. He's addicted to surgery. I don't know. Aaron, what about you? How are you feeling about going into season three sometime very soon? I think that they said that date we got before actually wasn't for season three, but it's got to be around the corner. Do you think Megatron should amputate another arm, or do you want him to drop all this relic plot point stuff altogether, or what?
I don't think he'll amputate his other arm, because all that he did, going back to what I said before, all Prime did was just cut off the arm.
Yeah.
So what's to say that he can't just graft an arm back on? I think the video stuff that we saw as preview showed Megatron with two Megatron arms, but who knows?
I want to say, yeah.
Maybe he grafts the arm on and then forges a Megatron arm with Prime magic.
Ta-da. He sprays it silver.
Yeah. Can of silver spray paint.
He's kid-bashing himself now.
Yeah.
Can I just say for a second, that final battle Megatron that we got pictures of, I'm really disappointed with.
Yeah.
It's just Megatron with a redecoed arm and an admittedly cool looking redeco of the Dark Matter caliber. But how do you come off Darkness Megatron into that? I mean, like, I don't know. I wanted them to up the ante. Hardcore up the ante. Like Hades 2 turning into his arm so he can use the Forge of Solus Prime. I don't know. I had to get that off my chest. Anyway. I thought there might be more there just rushing and fill the room and it'd be more. Okay. Well, OLH goes on to say, thank you for taking your time to answer this question. I was going to laugh out of the podcast. I'm happy you take the time to answer my and others' questions. OLH --. Click. We're looking for, at least I am looking forward to seeing how Prime season 3 starts, just so I can get an idea of how much it's tied into what we're seeing in the Beast Hunters line. Because right now, it's pretty confusing. And if they really are going to remodel everyone in the show, holy crap. But I don't think they are, so I don't know. We got to see how this all turns out.
One arm freshly blown up Prime running around whacking people with a hammer.
Exactly. That's going to be the cartoon.
You get spikes, bam.
Like, I can see them doing a new Optimus Prime, because, you know, the whole cliffhanger of this feels like a great lead into a new toy debut. But I don't know. Like, I want to know how Beast Hunters synchronizes with the show. It's got me very curious.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see. We'll see when Prime returns. And hopefully by then we'll maybe have even answered all our listener questions about Prime Season 2.
No.
Anyway, we're going to take a break, and we're going to go and, I don't know, clean ourselves, and then we're going to come back and talk about things we got this week, and maybe I'll even live build some Lego while we're talking.
Stealing my gig.
One-up it out of Aaron. I got this bag of Lego. It's all brown and stuff. Might take me the whole what we got to build it, but, you know, we'll see. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Yosh, Lego, got Taito!
Yokai!
Transform! Transform! Gattai Overload! Jinrai, Overload no power o omoi shirasu de aru!
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back just in time to see the reveal via Daniel the Proto Man's Twitter of the alt mode pictures of BTS Toys Nova Lord. It showed up at the TFCon third party panel, advertising itself as being the biggest third party toy ever made to date. And these alt mode pictures are showing the biggest third party toy I've ever seen. Pretty large, but it's also all the alt modes. I need to know what the robot mode looks like, because that's where BTS. Really, I was hoping would improve themselves. And I just said in the mid-show there that these alt mode pictures definitely look really good, and BTS's previous alt modes were basically all rectangles. So there's already a growth going on here. I just hope that continues on to the robot modes. Anyway, thanks, Daniel, for distracting us during the middle of our podcast.
Thanks.
I guess that's what you get for being from Quebec, is you distract us in the middle of our podcast.
Got up to use the bathroom, come back, saw the photos, and somehow wet myself.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. Thanks for messing up the flow of WTF at TFW. Thanks. Oh. Anyway, I was distracted by that because it all showed up on Twitter. Anyway. PL just made a post saying he jokingly checked TFW to see how fast Journal Techno posted the pictures and wasn't disappointed because they're already up in the news forum. Well, the third-party forum. That is a news forum. Anyway, hi.
Hi.
Let's talk about new picture picks.
There's still more.
No. Let's talk about what we got this week. We're going to start off with our on-topics. Aaron, what Transformers did you get this week?
I picked up most of the third wave of the Generations figures. So that is Starscream, Ultra Magnus, and Kickback.
Oh, aren't you fancy?
Yes, I am. I'm glad you noticed. We'll start with Starscream. I GOG really ranted, and I think you guys talked a lot about him on the last show, and I've got to pretty much agree with everything that was said. Kind of wish there was another fold in the middle of the chest that could maybe close up some of that big honking gap of area. There's much that seems like it's very close with him. But that gap just, I guess it doesn't bother me other than the fact that from every angle you can see through him, just in varying amounts of how much.
Well, as I said last week, like the way I dealt with it is I looked at it as being a backpack and then I felt fine. Yeah.
Well, I mean, even from the front through his arms, you can see through him, like inside of his armpits, you can see through him. And I kind of wish that somehow they had worked differently to at least conceal it from the front.
It's got to turn the lights down a little bit. Just turn the lights down.
Yeah. I hit this button and I turn off the lights in my room and I can't tell that he's hollow.
Yeah.
So yeah, like that, it's just fine.
I'm here to help.
Yeah, thanks. But great light piping on him. I will say that much. I think that his weapon is just too big. Is this actually a weapon from the second game?
Yeah, you put them together and it's Scrap Maker. I'm really, okay. Really sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was just hoping for being one this big that it was actually something.
Oh, it is. It is. I mean, okay. I don't understand really why they went for a geared gimmick given that there's nothing to drive the gear.
Yeah.
Which I found it, that's been, this is, I mean, there's a lot of things people have talked about on the toy, good or bad. Honestly, my biggest problem with them is that they went for a geared gimmick that to me is kind of pointless, because there's if it's geared, but the only thing to drive it is your finger, and there's a limited surface area for you to run your finger across, so what's the point?
Yeah.
It doesn't spin freely. There's no electronic thing or even zip line to drive it to go fast for a little while. So I'm just kind of like,
and it's not even like there's another toy in this line that has a gear drive thing.
Yeah. If they just made it two solid chunks of plastic that weren't geared, I would have been fine with it. And maybe the budget could have gone elsewhere in that. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I felt like that gearing thing was a legitimate case of pointless engineering. And
right. However, what I do like is the fact that you can pull off his tail fin and then drop the toy, drop the gun there, and then put the tail fin back on top of it to kind of make it look like he's transformed it out in mid-air combat.
And I have this theory I thought of all by myself that that might be a way for them to do, Skyfire or something.
Yeah, oh yeah, that
oh,
gives
gee,
them...
how did you ever come to that conclusion?
All by myself.
Everybody on the internet talked about it.
We talked about it on here like 3 weeks ago.
But I do like that aspect of it. I kind of do wish that tail fin was higher, because I think it is in the game. It gives him... I think the game has... He has more of a Tetrajet look, and like this, it's like a truncated triangle.
It definitely could have stood to be a bit pointier, I think.
Yeah. Especially since it is a piece that's just a one-piece painted plastic.
Third party. Yeah. Get a third party tail fin for this guy.
Yeah, third party tail fin and different gun and... hole filler.
Honestly, Shapeways. Someone out there, design us a Shapeways tail fin and sell it for $5. There you go.
Yeah. So that's Starscream. Kickback, I have to say, is the surprise to me of this wave.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's mahoosive. And the biggest issue that I have has been a recurring issue for me is the instructions on him were poor. I had to watch a video to see how to flip his insect mode head around, because the instructions just show flip head around, but it's like a whole body shot. You know, it's the whole toy instead of like zooming in on the area that you're working on.
Oh, so you get that tiny little dot of like coloration on the CAD model, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, you're taking this purple thing and flipping it around, and I guess I had just naturally kind of flipped it the way that it should have gone, but was trying to figure out how I'm supposed to flip this around, so he ended up with a weird... I had him transformed, but he had this weird hunched back because the head was up above where it should be. I was like, that doesn't look right. That's not looking like this. And then I had to watch a video to be like, oh, no, it's supposed to flip around the way that I had it before, that I thought was the way that it was from... what seemed like the thing to do. But
I heard that that's a toy that is so nebulous in its engineering, it really would have helped to have a director's commentary of sorts.
Yeah.
If the instructions were not so...
Yeah, like I said, I think I was talking to Jared Geronimus about this. I think that what they need to do is when they get done with the instruction sheet, and I hope that Hasbro does something like this, but instead of having one of the designers look over the instruction sheet and say, yep, that looks good, give it to somebody over in another toy line that is completely removed from Transformers. Say, here is the toy. Here are the instructions. Can you do this?
Oh, yeah, because the designers in Transformers, they might be... Because they've been working on the toy feasibly for a year and a half by then.
Right.
They'd be...
You know, you've been working on something for so long. You know, that's always why, you know, you want... You know, with videos, you want... If you're doing something big, you want a different editor or different somebody else to be... To look at it so that you can go, yeah, why is this like this? And you can go, well... Because that's... How it...
You also really want to have a third person looking at it, because if it's your baby and you've been working on it for so long, you're not going to see things related to it anymore.
And especially when it's like, okay, the toy at this point is going to be the toy that it is. They're not going to change anything at the point that the instructions are being made, because the instructions are being made for it. You know, so at least you can have somebody look at it and be like, yeah, I got lost on these when we're flipping the head around. How's that work? And then they can sit there and look, oh, well, maybe if we do an inset three-step image, we can make this a whole lot more clear. minor Hasbro peeve. I do like the fact that you can take his big weapon and plug, like, the translucent blades that come with it and turn it into, like, a little insecty drone. Mm-hmm. It definitely looks like, with the extra little bits of just greebles on this thing, that it was meant to be able to be reused like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty cool. I hope to see this in some other form somehow, just to see how they get creative with it. Because there were the other Insecticon guys, but I don't see you turning this into a bombshell or anything like that. But
they'd need to be unique toys, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they do like a different colored just insect drone guy, that could maybe have some possibilities to it. But
I think the only option they really have with them would be the same way the third party Insecticons went, and just make them into the deluxe version.
Yeah, you could do that. But I figure with this, they'll try and keep it related to the video game, because this is the video game kind of series of toys. But
right.
If you see him, he's the one to case. I'd say he'd be the pickup.
Wonderful.
Isn't that how it works?
Yeah. And then the last one of that case is Ultra Magnus that I picked up. And again, with the poor instructions, it does not show you how to make his blade.
You stick the thing, you stick the pegs into the holes kind of thing.
Yeah. Except for it's not, because it locks into like the ridge detail of that original gun that comes with Optimus.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that was annoying to figure out the first time.
It shows you how to take the pieces and turn it back into the small sword, but it doesn't show you how to make the big sword.
Which, I don't understand that, because it's like the instructions are implying there's some reason why you would have those pieces separate.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing, where, like I said, I think they just need to have, you know, somebody from Play-Doh. Hey, here you go. Take a look at this. These instructions, tell me, you know, how's this look? And it's sad, and it feels kind of demeaning to say it that way, but, you know, that sword is pretty friggin' cool. And it's neat that it, the sword and a gun, becomes like a super sword, and this sword is pretty friggin' cool. I like the sword, if you can't tell.
Good man.
And to just not directly tell you. It's kind of been, I guess, an ongoing problem for me. It's something that I've mentioned once or twice before, that's like, no, you have this cool feature. I know that there's a level of, hey, it'd be neat if you find it, but that should be things like finding the extra places where a 5mm, you know, it's a 5mm hole, or a 3mm rod to clip weapons onto, or things like that, the cross compatibility. But things that are features on the toys should be called out as features on the toys.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's always been a thing. I mean, there's the advertised features, but then there's all the, like, little cool Easter eggy features that sometimes don't make it into the instructions or whatnot. And
but that was the thing, though. I mean, it was advertised on the card.
Well, I mean, it's
just
it's
doesn't
part
tell
of the,
you how to do it.
It's part of the puzzle
to me,
of the toy.
This isn't an Easter eggy thing.
Definitely.
An Easter eggy thing would have been if it had the sword that could come apart, and then you had Prime's gun as a separate thing, like it didn't include that same gun, and then you could combine them, that would be an Easter eggy thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it is silly that a large feature of the toy is not described. And apparently, I still haven't messed with that Ultra Magnus, but it seems like, I'm surprised, it didn't really click with me that it wasn't something that could just be sussed out. Like the way that those things go together, but
yeah, no.
The number of people who have said that, like, that they really wanted in the instructions. I mean, clearly it's not as easy as I made it out to be in my head.
Yeah, I figured the handle bit that connects into like the gun handle, that I sussed out. But then it was like, I think this kind of looks like this, because you like have to match it by the little bit of ridge detail that's on that gun.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting there, and I had it on the other way, and it wasn't quite doing, and so I had to find photos of somebody that had done it and was like lining, okay, I see these lines and these lines. No, it won't go like that, because then it'd really have to click. Oh, that was like a 3-part click there. That's meant to go there and not want to come off for anything. So
it kind of throws you off because it doesn't combine the way a typical Transformer item of or anything really does.
Right. Yeah, because it doesn't peg. It's all like sideways clicks and friction. So, but it is definitely solid once it is a sword. But great face and head sculpt. Yeah, if you haven't bought this mold yet, this is the one to buy above and beyond. Especially if you have the old, the War for Cybertron Prime. Mm-hmm. This as a different character as Ultra Magnus looks very good. Especially with the smokestacky shoulders. As the pylon shoulders, but
mm-hmm.
is very good. He's also a pickup. Starscream is a get him if you like Starscream and if you're getting all the toys. But Ultra Magnus and Kickback, I think, are get him because they're good Transformers. Beyond that, things that I've gotten, I picked up, found today at a Target and at a Toys R Us, the Creo Micro Changers Assortment 1, and picked up Inferno, Springer, Warpath, and Bludgeon. For the most part, these guys all transform by falling over.
Do we have a code list out there for the bags?
Yes, there is. It's on the boards, actually. It's how I found it. I don't think it's in... no, I think it may have been. But the numbers range from like 40 to 51 or something. And then I think it's reverse order on the front of the box. I'm not exactly sure. But there is, if you search for... Creon Wave 1 assortment or something like that, it shows up. And it's a matter of it's like 40, 41, 42, 43 as the last two numbers of a 7-digit, 8-digit code. And those mm-hmm. last two numbers are the identifier. And it for the 4 that I got, and I believe for the 5 that I picked up for Drodimus, they were all dead on. So it's nothing that's going anywhere number-wise, but... again, my biggest issue with the Creons has been they'll have really neat printing on the body of it. And then in order to put crap on the back, you put, like an armor vest piece over top of that.
I heard that they were starting to move more towards using the cape piece. You could still see the,
Inferno had a cape piece, but Springer and Warpath and Bludgeon all had that armor piece.
I mean, as far as I've seen, like, I watched Daniel's video about the Constructicon set,
mm-hmm.
and, like, they had slavish printing on those that is entirely covered up. And so it sounds like with the Creons, it's really just a case of, like, put all the stuff on them if you want it all stored somewhere, but if you just have them on display, leave it in a little bag behind them.
Yeah. Well, that's like, so I brought up, in order to remind myself, I brought up the Bludgeon's little pack-in instruction thing. And for Bludgeon, all that you're putting, all of that... arm that like body, I think it's the like the human soldier body armor piece because it has like 3 pouches on it. It's like his turret and muzzle piece plug into that, and that's all that goes there. So if you don't necessarily want that piece hanging off his back, it's really easy to have him look better. So I think for my minifigure display area for all of them, except for, I mean, that's the rough thing is Springer looks good with his helicopter blades on his back. Warpath, you have to have the cannon on his chest for it to be Warpath.
Well, does Warpath have chest printing?
Yes, he does.
What does it look like?
It actually kind of looks like the... Iron Man. Like the step before the outer armor kind of goes on.
Oh.
So it's like dark gray and techie.
I wonder if that's supposed to be what it looks like. Like, cause, I mean, on him, it's...
That's
it's...
the one thing I think it might be, because that piece that goes over his chest has a hole through it, and it lines up with the hole in the middle of his chest. So that's the one that almost seems like that's a play pattern thing.
Yeah.
And not like a we're making this look good thing.
Like you pull it off and you're actually seeing inside his chassis.
Inside of Warpath, yeah.
Yeah.
But
I want to see inside of Warpath.
But Inferno had a cape, so his chest shows well, and it's like a big 2x2 plate to plug plenty of crap on his back, but they're cool for what they are. They cost like $3 a pop. If you know the ones you want, look for the code. I was tempted to get the Arachnid and say that I got a better toy than the Prime Arachnid to get the thigh slap joke out of it. But she's got like big Arachnid arms, so that may be a later pickup if I'm in a terrible toy drought and desperate. And then beyond that, I actually built the Wave 6 Kabaya guys.
I don't believe you.
Did that as a live stream. I can link it on YouTube.
I was there.
Yeah, you were there.
I know.
Why do you got to be such a negative Nancy?
I'm the one who told you to use the Yeti, wasn't I? Yeah,
you did.
Yeah.
And you did, along with like three other people.
Yeah, but I was the first one, right? Right?
I don't know.
No.
But I did, and it sounded better. So
much better.
But yeah, that's on my YouTube channel.
What a pimp.
Yeah. But it's, they're definitely Kabaya builds. I think the Kabaya builds are improving over time, but they definitely have some like Kabaya action going on. So if you enjoy the Kabaya fun, then, you'll enjoy the Kabaya fun.
I'm really hemming and hawing because I want to get them, but I'm not sure if I want to get them now or wait and make them a convention purchase.
They're a great convention purchase.
Yeah. Because, I mean, on Capture Prey, they're like $6.50 a box, so it's less than $20 for the three, yeah. And that's tempting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... I don't know, man. I looked at it, and I was like, oh, I should order this. And I stopped, and I was like, wait, there are all kinds of $20 things I really like. Do I want to make one of those this?
I think if you were to have this as an add-on to another order so that you're not paying just for this, trying to get it in shipping, that would be a good add-on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you like building Kabaya toys, they're a good build. They're three-part all-combined mode, which is a mode that they had, is crazy and full of guns and little pieces of plastic. I kind of want to see it in the full-size G1 in hand and just go, wow, that is nuts. But
yeah,
but it's some Kabaya action. And that's what I got this week, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
All right. Omegas, what Transformers did you purchase or receive this week?
Not too many, but some interesting ones that I'm enjoying right now.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know if he's on the board or not, but someone listened to the podcast where I was saying that I had almost completed the Power Core Combiner molds. So over on YouTube, T2RX6 was kind enough to send me the last one I needed.
Oh, he's a bro. He's that name, yeah.
Yeah, he sent me Skyhammer.
Well, how are you liking Skyhammer?
He's an interesting little one. You know, I didn't get the aerial bot, so unfortunately I can't combine him with the other jet drones going around. But I know as a toy itself, I mean, it's a step up from the previous.
He's the jet from the final wave, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I was not expecting much out of him, and I found I really dug him.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. I mean, I like the torso mold, or the torso mode. It's a nice, easy to transform figure, and he's probably got my favorite minicon of the batch.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really like the way he transforms with a torso swivel and having the peg holes for the legs on both sides.
Yeah,
like he feels like one that kind of came together a lot better than some of the others. He's a neat figure, though. So now I have to ignore all the terrible things I heard about the aerial bot set and go get them so he can have limbs.
To the aerial bot set's credit, I don't think it's like... It's not the worst power core toy that ever came out.
No, I have double clutch.
It did a lot, as it was one of the first five packs, it did a whole lot to not make people feel really confident about the line.
Yeah. It's that first impression you really can't get over. I think that's the same thing that happened to Titanium. Because both lines produced some really good toys later on, but no one could really get past that first wave letdown.
Yeah. I mean, I'll even say, like, you know, Titanium is one thing, but before anyone gets any ideas, like, Power Core, by the final wave, legitimately were nice, really cool scout-sized Transformers, not just...
Oh, yeah.
Not just, like, Titanium, ostensibly, you could say, was a really good effort by guys who don't, who don't design Transformers for a living. Power Core, legitimately, is, like, worth your time by the end.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was saying it last time when I got the last two Scouts. They are really solid toys, even on their own, without the limb combining or torso mode gimmick.
Yeah.
Yep, and this guy follows suit. He's a really nice little jet figure.
I miss mine. I gotta get some of that stuff moved out east. My box of Power Core.
aside from that, the only other thing I got was a 2-pack out of the Japanese Beast Wars run, which was Tonbot versus Autojetter.
Ooh.
There's something about Tonbot that, like, when I saw that mold as Jetstorm, I don't know what it was, but the black, the red, green just did absolutely nothing for me. And that, you know, there's just no desire for that toy whatsoever. You make that thing red, and it is gorgeous.
I legitimately like Jetstorm. I always wanted to pick up Tonbot. That's one of the most underrated beast molds to date in this era where everyone is talking up the beast toys again. That mold is still really underrated, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really cool... Well, just aside from the fact it's a giant dragonfly, which is already pretty cool. I mean, it's a great color for the mold. And I love the... I really like the gimmick. I forgot he had a water squirter.
Yeah.
Didn't even weigh in. I've never used a water squirting gimmick.
I used the one on Jetstorm right away to make sure it worked.
I do like the spring-loaded launcher gimmicks, though.
Mm-hmm.
I like how that works in both modes. That's actually kind of unique for a Beast Wars toy.
I just love how his robot mode comes together. That's what I remember.
Yeah,
about him.
I love the torso flipping out of his beast mode.
Yeah,
that's a really unique transformation to him. And I'm glad they didn't go with the bug on the chest like a lot of Beast Wars toys tended to do as for habit.
Yeah, he breaks a lot of the habits of insect transformers of that era. Like, even down and like, he doesn't have just his wings sticking off out of his back. Like,
right.
I recall they fold up in a way.
Yeah, you got two on his chest folding up, and then you got the other two on the arms.
Yeah.
Which actually makes a really cool silhouette if you get him posed just right. So he came out really cool. I really dug him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Autojetter. Bought off of how surprising I was, or how surprising Autocrasher was for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I got a bum one. Because there's just something about it. Well, aside from the fact that this one takes a little bit more manual transformation because there's no auto morphing in the wings at all. But something about the gearing on it just doesn't sit quite right. Like, it needs to go back like one more click before everything is straightened out in robot mode.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of leans forward. He kind of really wants to accordion back down. I don't know if that's just a flaw in the toy. I don't know if that's common or if it's just from how long he's been sitting in the box. It's really hard to tell. And on mine, unfortunately, the automorph didn't work too well. Because you're supposed to be able to roll him on the ground. He just kind of stands up on his own. The gearing is just a little bit off.
Was yours the Japanese or the Korean release?
It's off of Mandarake, so it was a Japanese release.
Bummer.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. I mean, because it looks really cool in both modes.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still kind of jazzed to get the other two the other two in the Auto series. And I still love this. I still like this silhouette of him with these big wing hands and missiles for fingers. It's that same reason I liked, what was it? Brimstone from the Revenge of the Fallen Scouts.
Yeah. Cause he had the crazy hands.
Yeah. He had the buzzsaw hands. It's like, I love this idea of like villains that are just like, I don't need to hold things. Just give me more ways to kill.
Yeah. Make my hands into murder tools.
I like how demented it is. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's one of those ways. I really like the look, but the execution is off. But I don't know if that's just mine or if that was a common issue across the board.
I don't know much of. I have never picked them up. They've always been kind of on the peripheral for me, so I don't have much experience with those.
Yeah. I kind of want to make a thing out of them now because I've got half of them now.
Hmm. Well, of four.
Yeah. Hey. Sometimes it takes a while, okay?
Yeah.
Jeez. But yeah, overall, I'm okay with the set. And yeah, that's pretty much all the transformering I did this week.
All right. I picked up some Transformers yesterday. I went out because Beast Hunters and Creo Combiners have been sighted in my town. Last Friday, the Beast Hunters Voyagers were at the Walmart I go to, and I missed them. Apparently, they were gone by the afternoon that they'd shown up. So I was like, well, you know, Wednesday's usually a restock day. I'll go take a look. I go there, and it's been cleared out again. It's totally dead. But there is new stuff there, just nothing I really wanted. And there were pieces of paper everywhere. Someone on Twitter told me what they were, and I already forgot. But they were those pieces of paper that show you what the layout of the shelf is supposed to look like by next week. Because, you know, they're reshuffling all the shelves.
Yeah.
So I was reading those, and they were kind of fun to read, because it's like, oh, hey, they actually call it, it doesn't even say Transformers, it just says Beast Hunters. Or in the construction toy area, nothing on those sheets ever said Lego, Mega Bloks, or Creo, just names of products. So yeah. I was like, man, this job would actually kind of suck, because it's like, they don't even tell you what brand it is, just like, the fire truck goes here.
Normally they have, like, product numbers that will guide them very well.
Hopefully. I don't remember if there were numbers. I was really bored there, but I did find some. I picked up two things. Just wasn't what I really wanted to pick up. But they had the new bot shots there. That first wave. It's I believe four or five bot shots. It was Shockwave, Bumblebee, Ironhide, and Sunstorm. So four of them, and each one of them is a different mold, basically. So it's like Sunstorm is an old bot shot. Bumblebee is a flip shot. Ironhide's a spin shot, and Shockwave is a jump shot. I heard on Twitter that the Ironhide looked kind of like an idiot, and I didn't need another Bumblebee, so I want to get a spin shot and a flip shot eventually, but I want to get them in characters I'm more interested in. However, a single-packed Shockwave I couldn't resist, especially because the jump shot mold has a really strong robot mode. So I picked this thing up, and it's all spring-loaded, but if you hold on to it, he actually has kind of an elbow joint on his gun arm. It just will always spring back into position.
Okay.
And the way that the jump shots transform is you fold the arms back, like at the shoulders, back and around, and then the entire robot body you push in to the vehicle mode that's on his back. So when these things jump, they do jump. They jump high. Like, here's how strong the spring is. I'll set it off. Like, that is a hard...
I haven't heard it land yet.
I was holding on to it.
No. But
that's just to show you how hard the spring is. Like, I've had this thing jump, I am really sure, as high as 6 inches off the table. Because basically the entire bottom plate of the vehicle mode shoots down and pushes it up. So it's literally catapulting the entire vehicle mode up into the air. I have seen it do like a 1080 flipping through the air. It totally will not always land on its feet, but it's really cool. I would actually very much recommend, especially because it's Shockwave, and Shockwave is inherently pretty cool. If you see these new guys, I mean, the whole first wave is a cool first wave because it's one of each new type of bot shot. So that's already kind of cool. But Jump Shot Shockwave, I really like him. Like the first time I set him off, he actually frightened me with how hard he sprang. Like, like he just went flying. And I was like, and maybe, like, the 6 inches hasn't been a regular thing. I think that's the peak I've hit. But It's just because literally the vehicle mode has a giant plunger plate on the bottom that shoots it up. And that plunger plate is sculpted to look like a robot, basically. I like it a lot. It also has, like, it's got transformation. When you fold the arms back, the faux shoulder on the gun kind of auto-morphs to push the gun hand pointing forward, so it's like a little sub-turret on the tank mode. Rolls okay. Real nicely. The only problem is, you know how bot shots, sometimes they would set off by accident if you put them down too hard?
Yeah.
If you put this guy down too hard, he shoots straight up out of your hand, and it's a little bit frightening if you aren't expecting it.
Well, if you have more than a childlike control of your muscles.
Basically, this thing is legit dangerous, and I kind of like it. Like, I can't believe how enormous a spring there is in there. Like, I looked in there. It's a big spring. Like, it's really cool. So I like this thing a lot. And I really want to pick up a spin shot and a flip shot to see what they're like as well. But as I said, I would rather not go completist on bot shots again. So I kind of want to wait till there's more interesting characters in those forms. I mean, like that, the track set with the Prime Style Megatron, it sounds like that Prime Style Megatron is a flip or a spin.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more interested in that. But yeah, I the card art on these is huge now too. Like the top right third of the card is just like this huge CG picture of the Botshot character. So you'll see the Shockwave one. I recommend the Shockwave one. It's pretty cool. Also, there was exactly one Beast Hunter Cyberverse Commander at the Walmart. There was also a Beast Hunter Cyberverse Bumblebee. Didn't really look super interesting, but they had the Commander version of Optimus, so I picked him up as well. His vehicle mode is really cool. The transformation's actually got some really unique touches to it, much like the Commander version of Optimus from the original Prime Cyberverse line. This one does a really neat thing where the chest and the lower body are connected by a cylinder, and there's like a framework with the shoulders that spins 180 degrees around inside between them. It's kind of cool how it works. And there's kind of a cage on the back of the vehicle mode that then like folds around and sandwiches onto the legs to bulk them out more. Okay. So this guy does some really cool things. His robot mode is super beefy. Like, it has an awesome look to it. It's like, you know, for a Cyberverse toy, it's like just chunky. Like, it looks like he kicks a lot of poop out of houses made of bricks, kind of thing. The main problem with him is that he has no head articulation whatsoever, because his head is literally a flap with a face sculpted on it. And there's like detailing on the back, but at the end of the day, his head is just a flap that folds down into his back. Which is kind of a bummer, because what is there sculpted for his head is really dynamic. Like, it's extremely pointy, and it has a faceplate, which made some people prefer the look of this guy to the Voyager. Also, without the jetpack and with, like, just chunkier shoulders, this guy looks a lot stronger than the Voyager does. I still think the Voyager looks great, but the Cyberverse has a very, very cool aesthetic to it. And, you know, it's Cyberverse poseable, so he's got ball-jointed shoulders and hips, he's got ball-jointed elbows and a hinged knee. So he's got the basics, but that's it. No waist joint, no neck joint. And he comes with two weapons. He comes with a really silly pressure missile launcher, where the pressure part you're pushing on is actually so thin it hurts to try to fire the missile.
Mm.
It's called, like, a dragon blaster or something. It's really dumb. The reason to get this guy, other than, you know, having a really beefy, tiny Optimus, who's kind of cute and adorable, and scary, is that he comes with a Cyberverse-scaled Star Saber, which is really, really short, but it's sculpted very well. So it's kind of neat to have, like, a tiny version of the Star Saber to go with all your Cyberverse toys. Unfortunately, the Star Saber cannot mount on his back. And in fact, the toy looks awful from behind, so don't turn him around, because there's nothing back there. It's just the framework of the transformation. But from the front, he looks really cool. And, you know, he's Cyberverse Commanders in Canada, the price kind of sucks, but I really wanted something, so I kind of impulsed this guy, and I don't dislike him. I want to see if I can. I haven't tried it. I want to see if I can stuff him into Optimus Maximus. I don't think I can, because this guy's got a lot more girth to him. But,
well, there's a lot of space in that seat sideways,
I guess, but I don't think the head could come down, because this new Optimus has huge shoulders that like stick up over top of his head. Oh, there's one other thing about this guy. This was brought up in the feedback thread. It's worth mentioning. This Cyberverse Optimus has painted rims on his wheels. And so,
really?
Yeah, so he's actually a small step above some deluxe toys. the rims are only on the wheel parts. So there's like a huge space in the middle of each wheel where the connection is, where it snaps on. But the sculpted rim work on the inside of the like inside the tire is actually painted gunmetal. So that's kind of neat.
Hmm.
And he's got a decent amount of paint on his chest and on his face. It looks pretty good. He's just kind of unpainted from the waist down. But the plastic colors are pretty good. So I kind of dig him. I'm more interested in finding the Voyagers. Right now, my shopping list is I really want to pick up the two Voyagers, and I want to pick up Laserback and Wheeljack. Bumblebee and Soundwave, I can definitely wait. But I'm just in a very casual hunt for Beast Hunters right now. And I'm also looking for those Creo Combiner sets. I don't know even what their price point is over here in Canada, but I'd like to pick one up. I just don't know which one yet. Anyway, those are all the Transformers I got this week. I'll just quickly roll into my off-topic because it's one thing that I almost forgot about until Aaron reminded me, and I've actually been sitting here building it while I was listening to you guys talk about what you were getting this week. I didn't sort the parts either because I'm a badass, but I found, and people are gonna, Aaron already attacked me physically, but I was moseying around at Toys R Us earlier this week, and I saw a bunch of polybag Lego things, and there were a couple of those polybags of the Monster Fighters Ghost with Clock. So I bought two, one for me and one for Kryn, because we thought the ghost looked really cool. And then Aaron was like, so you bought like 15 of them, right? I was like, no. And I went on to tell him that I went back literally almost the next day and they were all gone.
Yeah.
These sold for about $5 each at the Toys R Us. I was really surprised to see them because I was under the impression they were a Target thing from the brief.
In the US they were, but you know how things go as soon as it crosses a border.
Yeah. It becomes scalper bait, apparently.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Aaron assured me that the children did not buy those.
Yeah.
And I would, given how fast they disappeared, I'm inclined to believe them.
Yes. Yeah, that is the least expensive way to get ghosts. And those, as I have said before, are not just glow in the dark, but glow in the light.
Yeah, Aaron said turn on a light. I was like, okay, because I hadn't opened this yet. So I hold this thing under the light, and the glow in the dark part literally looks like it's growing mold as parts of it start to light up green with my overhead on here.
Yeah, I have in my bedroom, I have sitting on top of my desk, I have one of the ghosts where if I have this light on for a long time and then turn off the light for a good 10 minutes or so, there will be an odd glow coming from up there. And normally when I notice it is when I've taken out my contacts or something. And so I'll be like, what is that? What's going on? And then I'll be, oh yeah, it's up on the desk. That's the ghost. So yeah. It will be enough to mess with you if you have it in a place that you will see light and dark.
And I'll keep my eyes open. I wouldn't mind picking up another one because, I mean, this is a really cool little clock. And and it came with three spare pieces. I guess I got lucky. Ha 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 ha. So I got an extra white stud, an extra brown stud, and an extra brown triangle thing.
Yes, and cheese slope.
Oh, look at you with your lingo.
But no, those are the small pieces because they measure by weight when they fill those bags.
Mm-hmm.
So to be sure that you got all of the parts, the trigger on the weight is set so that it has to be greater than the weight of whatever.
Oh, so is this random, the extra bits that are shot in?
Every one of them will have the same ones because those are the three pieces that are the, generally it's the one-by-one tile pieces because those are light enough that, like, is that two? Is that three? Well, we'll make sure that it's at least two so that you are not going to be looking for extra parts later.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, I wouldn't mind picking up a second one so I could add, like, because I built a little tower out of those three bits and stuck it on top of the clock, and I wouldn't mind another little tower of those to stick on the other side.
But that set goes well if you have the vampire's house, the haunted house. There's actually a space that's just perfect for a grandfather clock.
And it's a cool grandfather clock. It's a neat little build. Lego polybags usually don't grab me very much because I find most of them tend to be more about, look, here's a branded minifigure and here's like a sled.
Yeah.
It seems from what I've been looking at since I was looking at those space things, it looks like Lego's version of a throwaway accessory is a sled made of about 8 parts, which is like base plate with things on the side. And then sometimes thing on the top if someone's not supposed to ride in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really into those, but something like a little clock I find way more interesting because it's an actual real-life shape that's being represented,
yeah.
Not sled.
And it's a relatively scale thing as well.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I like it. Anyway, yeah, that's all I got that was off topic. I was looking around at stuff, but Lego prices in Canada on the space truck that I want, I'd be better off just getting it the next time I'm in the States.
Is that the one with the little rocket? Like little...
The little robot in the back. The green one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's like $10 more here. And then with our taxes, that $10 more has quite an impact.
Yeah.
I'm not in a rush to get it or anything, but okay. I like the idea of...
I was thinking that you were talking one of the Lego City...
Oh, no, City stuff looks cool, but I honestly, I just don't have anywhere to put it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happier just seeing other people messing with that stuff. Like I'm really impressed by what effort they put into things like City or the modular buildings.
Yeah.
But it also is something that I literally would not know what to do with once I built it. So
I'll tell you what, March 1st, pay attention.
Why?
Why? Because that's when the Palace Cinema comes out.
You're a Palace Cinema.
Have you seen this stuff for the Palace Cinema?
No, but don't like derail the podcast yet. Let's wait till the post show.
Okay.
I could hear your brain lining up the URLs to start putting into the Skype window.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to it. But no, I mean I really like that little spaceship I built, and I just want to build things like that. Like I was saying in the pre-show, a lot of those space alien giant bug things look really dorky to me, and they don't click with me at all. But all the little like white and insert color spaceship things, mm-hmm. they bring me back to stuff that I really liked when I was a kid. So I'm like, hey, what's up? And I still got that flying saucer I bought last year that I haven't built yet. So I already have aliens. I'm set. Anyway, that's all I got. That's off topic. Aaron, what about you?
So for off topic, I managed to keep it pretty light. I don't even know if I've bought Lego. The biggest thing I've done is built a bunch of stuff that I've had sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mini Sky Flyers that has like it's like the little $7 set that does like a space shuttle. Like an early era jet fighter type thing, and then a modern swing wing jet fighter. And it actually, because it's only a one stud connection, it's a piece that will actually swing the wings, so you can have it be wide or narrow.
Could you say swing wing again?
Swing wing.
Swing wing.
Yep. Like the F-14 Tomcat, the F-111 Aardvark. I think there's a Eurofighter that does that too.
Swing wing.
Also built the very North American Fierce Flyer. There's a bald eagle for America. There's a beaver for Candadia.
Really?
Yeah. copy and a paste. There you go. The second build. It's a creator set, so it has 3 different builds that you can do. The bald eagle... uses almost all of the parts, and it actually has articulated wings and legs.
Wait, so bald eagle for America,
yeah.
Beaver for Canada. Who the hell is a scorpion for?
Scorpion's kind of Mexico because it's all desert or something. I don't know. I don't know. It was a momentary thought that I had that came out of my face while I was
live building. If I saw a scorpion that was like brown with yellow legs, I would flee the country.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, the Mexican national animal's a golden eagle, I think, so...
Scorpion! Scorpion!
Yeah. Scorpion works. But that's a fun little build. That was like $15.
Oh, God.
Picked up some of the Series 9 minifigs. Got the Heroic Knight, which has like some really cool tampo on the armor piece, actually. Got the chicken soup guy, to go with all of my costume suit guys, who has unique arms so that they're like wings, like chicken suit wings. The roller derby girl that has actual minifig roller skates, which is a new part. Got the judge who comes, it's like the British barrister style judge. So he's got the, like the white wig with the hair and curlers and the robe, and then also the battle mech to kind of go with the galaxy fighter squad.
Oh, whatever. I should put my space marines with the galaxy fighter guys. I haven't done that.
Yeah. It works really well together, but that's really been it for Lego. After having the whole glut of stuff at,
you only kind of bought a little
Christmas. Well, I've had just a ton of stuff still on backlog. So it's, I mean, there's a lot of stuff for me to still kind of build through, but, I've made it the personal goal of not buying more stuff until I'm through with all of the stuff that I have.
I just saw the part on that box on the bottom left that says, quote, rebuilds into a scorpion or a beaver.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's creator. That's those sets are the ones that are designed to be three builds.
Sentences are funnier when they end with the word or a beaver.
Yeah,
that was just too good. I still got to find that green. I saw that green robot everywhere, but it's always like $25 over here.
And it's like $20 here, so it's not like you're losing a lot.
Yeah. But that's the creator set I want because it looks like Bulkhead. And then I was talking about that, and someone's like, "What about the blue robot?" And I was like, "Look, all I know is there's one that looks like Bulkhead.
The Thunderwings one looks like a very derpy blue robot. It's not." It comes off more as, I don't know. It's definitely not a Transformers-y human form robot.
I just want the green one.
Yeah.
That's all I want. So that's all you did off topic?
Yeah.
Light week?
Yeah, it's light week. Well, I had a glut of like $300 of brick last week or more. So I'm taking it easy for a week.
I gotta ask you, how'd the black blood go? Do you still have any?
I'm working my way down. These Ooh. Early cold mornings have been very much heavy caffeine inducing, but I'm getting near the bottle return. But I'm also trying to think if there's any sort of group gathering coming up that I need to be sure that I have it refilled
just,
for.
Just make sure you have it filled up for TFCon. That's the main one.
Of course, of course. Of course. I'm gonna be coming.
You gotta bring me that.
I'm thinking about doing a refill for myself and then maybe also getting one of these sampler packs just so I can be like, hey, yo, you want to mess yourself up?
Here and then we just get a 2-liter bottle of milk.
Yeah.
And just have a day. That'd be good. Well, moving on from there, Omegas, I'm first going to make a spring go off really loud right at you.
Mm-hmm.
I love the ring off of that. Anyway.
It just makes me wait for those that are just a little bit off.
Yeah, so, does kids take them straight in the teeth when they're like bent over putting their car down and just shoots them in the face?
Well, I'm imagining like every now and then, like it's rare, but since my collection is this big, I will occasionally have a missile just randomly go off as the latch just barely gives out.
I've already come to the conclusion: these jump shots, store them in robot mode.
Yeah, like,
that's. Just store them in robot mode. Because if you have a chain reaction that these things go off, I don't even want to know what that would look like.
Spring sprung, flying, flying.
And then someone just starts spinning and like, what?
I'm waiting for the box shot completionist who just wakes up one night because he's getting bombarded with little plastic robots.
I have like 20 some, I think. I just got to line them all up and then set them all off at once.
Be like the old bounce trap. Trigger.
Yeah, except it's just all doing the same thing. Anyway, Omegas, tell me, what did you get that was off topic this week?
A few interesting things off topic. Just to get out of the way, the ring collection now includes liquid bind, end gauge, and extend.
Alright.
You wave them over your crotch, they make lights.
Yeah.
All good. More interesting than that.
Sorry.
Ended up picking up the Figuarts. Trunks from the Dragon Ball Z collection.
They just announced a Frieza.
They did, and I cannot wait.
I'm really happy for Dragon Ball fans, because it sounds like you guys are really... It's like a decade later, it's all finally being paid off and being made worth it.
No kidding. I need to pick up Cell, because that design just works so perfectly for a heavily jointed figure.
I saw that toy in person at an Anime Extreme, and Random Factor, I believe, got that one. Was it Random Factor? Someone got it and basically extolled that, like, regardless of whether you like the design or not, it is a legitimately masterpiece figure art toy. Like, just a lot of really good joints.
Yeah, that's on my short-term list of pickups. Trunks is one of those I saw at conventions all the time, and I thought, I like that. This is, like, the only version of the character I like. I don't know. Had a chance to get one cheap, thanks to a fan, so you know what? Yeah, why not? And really impressed with him. You know, like, I started out with the Dragon Ball Z figure arts because I got Goku, kind of by accident, and really wasn't happy with them. They were in that learning period where the jointing wasn't right, the molding was a little off, and it did absolutely nothing for me. Since then, they've gotten really good. Yeah, I had the same praises for Vegeta, that, you know, very good articulation, very characterful, you know, just nails the look of the character dead on. And this is the same way. I mean, it's Trunks in the jacket and all that the first time you see him. This is the first one where they didn't go for the cash-in thing of only giving you one choice of hair.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the normal one, you get the Super Saiyan. All of them have four similar faces, a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But you can pretty much get any expression out of any set of hair. Which is thoughtful of them. You get the sword, you get the sheath, you get the handle that goes in the sheath, because it's not like a full sheath.
Oh, is it like a handle on its own that connects to a blade, or is a blade with the handle a separate piece?
It's two handles, and one has a blade, and the other one has like a bit of a blade, which kind of works because the sword did break in the anime.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a twofer, but it did kind of take me off because I just got Figma Link, who has a fully working sheath.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's always, to me, it struck me that Bandai will often go for multiple pieces rather than trying to implement a sheath. So they, there's another one where that was a specific talking point. I forgot who it was now, but I think it was one of the Shinkengers. I think Shinken Gold, the way that they did the Sakana Maru.
Oh, right.
It felt like they were, since they were able to budget in all those extra swords, it meant they didn't have to force the sword to be able to fit in a sheath or force a sheath to be able to receive the sword.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. I remember that now. But, you know, that's the nice thing I like about them, is that they don't skip on the accessories or anything like that. I mean, the only thing Trunks is missing that normal DBZ figure arts have, he doesn't have any effect part.
Oh.
He doesn't need one, because he's got the sword to pose with, and he's got a ton of hands.
That's good. That's like Sentai good.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing disappointing on him is there's a little bit of sloppy paint, and ironically for a figure art, it's on his belt.
Aww.
But other than that, I'm really happy with him.
Yeah, and I mean, Dragon Ball Z figure arts are more or less entirely driven by the U.S. sales they've been having now.
Yeah.
So it's great for fans of that show. Like, I hardly got into it, but I know that, like, I know the feeling. Like, when figure arts finally did Garo, finally gave me a definitively solid Garo toy after all these years, I was like, finally. I have a Garo figure who can stand there. He's not fragile. He can pose. And so to get that for Dragon Ball Z, which is a much larger franchise than Garo ever will be, that must be great for a lot of folks who are picking those up.
Yeah. That's why I was so excited when they announced Frieza, because they'd always been sticking to this little niche of time in Dragon Ball Z. You know, we're only making figures from, like, late Cell Saga and all that. Made me really happy to see that we're getting Frieza, because that's the last one I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. And the same package actually The guy surprised me because for no reason at all, he threw in an SIC Kiwami Tamashii Fies.
Okay, I learned after I put a review up of that toy only a few months ago, it is legit hard to find.
I heard that.
And also, if you have Fies, I'm sure you might have noticed he's a little tall in the torso.
I remember you saying something about this. Which one am I supposed to swap the bit with?
The Kuga that just, like, the Mighty Form Kuga. Because that Kuga is legit, he is a depressing toy on his own. Because the inside double ball stick is way too short for his sculpt. So I just, the other night, switched them. It's really hard to get Kugas out because you need pliers, really, to get a good grip on it. But I switched them, and they look perfect. Kuga has a working ab joint, and Fies looks proportionally fantastic now. Hmm. If you haven't picked him up, like look for that Mighty Form Kuga. I don't know anything about whether the same problem happened with the Rising Ultimate. All I know is the red one is the one that you want to get to go with Fies to switch the inside joint.
I haven't gotten them yet, but I don't know, I'm starting to develop a collection of these, so I'm probably not too far off from getting them.
If you're going to get any of them, I mean, like, Agito is fantastic, but I believe you already covered that one.
Yeah,
so
Agito I've got...
I would say pick up the Kuga next. He's really good. And if you've got Fies, try to track down the Auto Vagin. It's a really, really good companion piece.
Yeah, I will have to, because I... Kiwami Tamashii is one of those lines I forget about every time.
Mm. Oh, like, oh! Get the Orphanox. The Horse Orphanox is so good. Wolf Orphanox, not so much, but Horse Orphanox is fantastic.
Noted again.
Sounds like you're just coming up with words.
Fies is the show that, like, it was the first time I was... It was the show that cemented me being into all this nonsense. So I got... As much as I hate the way that the show ended, and it was legit... trash writing, in my opinion, the way they ended the show. At least I've come down a little bit, but I still love the designs. I still know all the jargon. Like, ask me anything about photon blood and I'll be right there. I know the different spellings of Orphanox. Sometimes it's Orphnock. True story. The crappy knockoff illegal Hong Kong DVDs with crappy English subtitles that were translated from Chinese that was translated from Japanese. Did you know that every time anyone says belt in that show, they say girdle in the subtitles?
He's just making this up now.
Yeah, I know.
I remember really useful things that helped me succeed in life.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, ask me what a muon is. So Corinne was just talking about muons earlier this evening, and I said that makes me imagine tiny little spheres floating around molecules, and these tiny spheres called muons are full of miniature cows. Like, that's how I think science works.
Well, they are fat electrons, so...
That's what she said, so... Because originally I said, oh, they're like little... She said orbiting, so I was like, I'm imagining teeny tiny planets covered in cows. And she's like, well, they're kind of fat. And I was like, okay, instead, they're stuffed with tiny cows. And they're squirting electron milk everywhere. That's what muons are.
You freaking nerds, I'm trying to talk about toys.
I'm just saying. Ask me anything about science, and I can tell you in a voice that sounds like I am extremely confident. Anything you want to know about science.
No, but as I was saying, it's one of those lines I keep forgetting how much I like them. So I have to remember to prioritize a few more of these.
Kuga. That's the one right now. Honestly, yeah, Kuga. I'd say get Kuga for everything you already have.
So Kuga then.
Yep. His bike is coming out soon. He'll be a perfect companion piece to Agito, and they just showed a prototype of the Gorum. So I'd recommend that one.
Following that up, late on the boat, but again, I had the opportunity to pick this thing up way cheaper than it usually goes for, so why not? Managed to find a Figma Drossel.
Okay. Are you sure? Actually, I don't even know how to tell anymore. There's a guide, so you know if it's Figma or if it's the dorsal, as it's been called. There is a very good knockoff out there, but I don't know how common it is. Where'd you get it from?
Mandarake.
Okay, never mind. If you said eBay, I would have said go find the dorsal FAQ. But if it's Mandarake, it's fine. Just a note out there for everyone else who's looking for a Figma Drossel. There are a lot of knockoffs of it.
Yeah, because that's a stupidly expensive toy based solely on demand. So, yeah, I'm not surprised there's a knockoff at this point.
Oh, yeah. This was even back, like, I think in the same year it came out. I just remember Toy was full of threads all about how to identify a dorsal. Anyway, so this is the first one, right? With the pigtails. How are you liking it?
Original. Really liking it. You know, I was a fan of Fireball, but a little bit late to the game. So by the time I going, oh, I really want this toy, everyone told me, well, you can't get it anymore. Huh. And this is one of those that I usually find at my anime cons every year. It's like, ooh, how much is that? $60. That's how much you were asking 2 years ago. Yeah, still 60. So I just keep, I kept passing on, and you know what? I get it for under 30? Yeah, mine. Still really loving the aesthetic of it. I mean, it's, I'm not sure what it is, but it's a really characterful design, and it has absolutely no definition to create it. It's all in the eyes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I've got her kind of, one of her more cheeky poses. She's posed next to a couple of portal turrets. And it looks like they came out of the same factory.
I always ended up putting mine into like action poses. I don't know why. Like I felt like that the design of it just looked really cool when you made it look kind of menacing, even though like that's entirely not in line with most of the show. This is how mine ended up playing out. Also, because I had trouble putting, like, it was a bunch of work getting her to jut her hip out and stuff, and I was like, look like you're gonna cut people up or something. I don't know.
I've got her with a hip out now. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I always found it was just enough work where I was like, I want to have her looking like she came off the assembly line, and she's all like, I'm gonna contemplate the nature of the cosmos and stuff.
Oh, that's fun to have. I was torn between whether or not this is going to be some version of either a Portal character or like a really grown-up Eve from WALL-E.
It's Drossel. It's Drossel.
I know it's Drossel.
Yeah.
But it's a Disney franchise, so there's actual possibility to that.
Don't repurpose Drossel. We already had the listener question about that.
Makes a good custom. Sorry.
Yeah, but don't take a stock Drossel and repurpose it into like Shattered Glass Eve or something like that. Like,
oh, that's God. Let's not Shattered Glass Disney franchises now.
This is some get out of my house kind of stuff there.
No, bottom line, nice toy.
Okay? Oh yeah.
All right.
In fact, I like it so much, I'm gonna make Jump Shot Shockwave Jump. Whoa! Okay, I got it. We're good.
Eventually that thing is going to take out something on your desk and I'm going to laugh.
Well, as long as it's doing the cartwheels and stuff, I'm totally fine with that.
That's the end of the toys for the week. However, something that just arrived today, my big toy purchase of the year so far, which would be a 50-inch LCD HDTV.
Oh, that's a good size. I forgot. Are you now entering the realm of HD TVs?
Yeah, this is my first experience.
All right. I remember that the first time I got mine, I thought it looked amazing, and then I turned on basic cable and was like, why does this all look funny? Because I didn't have a cable box.
Yeah, that's the situation I'm in now, too. So I've got to get a cable box I can actually put out an HD signal.
Yep. That's the learning curve, I remember.
Yeah. But anything I route through the Wii U, including Netflix, looks beautiful. So I can still get my little HD experience while I wait for, you know, my cable to actually catch up. But my old TV got to the point where it's like I tried to turn on one morning and it didn't want to come on.
And I heard that in my old town, Shaw has apparently stopped supporting coaxial.
Really?
They're like, if you want to keep using coax, you have to get a box from us. Like, CRT TVs that were plugged into coax just stopped working one day.
There's the digital switchover, which, mm-hmm. we had to put little boxes on our TVs here.
Yeah, Shaw wasn't enforcing it for the longest time. They kept saying, we're going to one day enforce it, then one day they just flipped the switch. Like, we're not putting out that signal anymore. Crazy.
But no, my old TV, I had it forever, it was working fine, and one morning it took about 3 attempts to turn on, and when it did turn on, it really didn't like to have it really didn't like being on a channel that had an image on it.
You have to go to those imageless channels then.
Yeah, that's literally what I had to do. I had to go to like a dead channel that that it let me flip to that channel, but there was nothing on it. So it just gave me that, we've detected an interruption in your service. Please stand by.
Oh dear.
And I had to let it warm up just so I could turn to a channel I actually wanted to watch. So yeah, that one's sitting on the curb right now.
Oh man, I would have taken that to a field. Like, how often do you get to do that?
Office space it.
It's Florida. I can't find a field here.
Take it out to a retirement home. No one can stop you. They're all too slow. Just
closest we have to fields are like wetlands, and all of a sudden I'm hauling this big 50-pound TV through alligator-infested swamp.
Yeah, just take it out to the wetlands, smash it up, and let the alligators roost in it.
I'm sure that won't cause any trouble.
No.
Jeez.
Not in the least.
I have this huge TV that's kind of overkill for a bedroom, but I'm loving it right now.
Excellent. Well, yeah, welcome to one of the final stages of the modern digital home evolution, I suppose you could call it.
Yeah, I gotta get me one of them Blu-ray things, they call it.
That's right. Gotta move on up to Blu-ray, and you gotta also just stop buying discs altogether, unless you're trying to support a movie that needed to do better in theaters. Speaking of which, grats
Go
to Dread.
By Dread, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I did get that. Dread.
Oh, well, you're part of the
it's
problem,
a disc.
Aren't you?
I don't think about it about a toy. I own it.
I think we all know why Dread didn't do very well. Aaron?
I went to see in the theaters 3D. Uh-huh.
Okay, good. Okay.
In fact, it was awesome.
Yep, okay, I'll lay off.
He's above me.
But yeah, Dread, I retweeted the article that the Comic Vine put up, and I'm sure other places talked about it as well. It is killing it in DVDs, which, to me, I mean, in a different economy, I'd say that the thing that should happen in response to this, if they're not going to do a sequel, is they should fire the man or woman who is in charge of marketing for Dread. But in this economy, that's a horrible thing to say. So they should take the person who is in charge of marketing and not let them be in charge of things again for a while. Because clearly, that was the weak link.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, just slight off topic. I think I mentioned this before. How do you take a movie called John Carter? Yeah, John Carter of Mars, and you're like, how do we shorten the title? I don't know. Let's get rid of the part that says Mars, because no one's going to care about Mars in the previous year. When we were landing a thing on Mars, having a movie with Mars in the title would be pretty dumb, wouldn't it? Guess what that... Yeah. Man, you know, some people who work in marketing don't need to work in marketing. That's all really...
Jeez.
They... I mean...
I mean, the stories, from whatever, 19-teens was The Warlord of Mars?
You put out a movie called The Warlord of Mars!
Yeah.
How cool would that be? No, let's call it John Carter, because that's going to make people excited to see it.
Yeah, because somebody knows what John Carter is.
Yeah. Here's a movie about some guy.
How did that movie do, that Jack Archer or whatever, that the new Tom Cruise movie where it's just a name as a title? Isn't that in the middle of flopping, or am I just aggro to Tom Cruise? I don't know.
You're probably aggro to Tom Cruise.
I am aggro to Tom Cruise. Dude's a crazy Scientologist.
Yeah. John Carter just broke even. $250 million budget, $280 million box office.
I just hope that the big money dudes in the Fat Cat offices are aware that the marketing is at least partly responsible for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that...
Well, let's roll this back even further. Would have required it to generate worldwide ticket sales of more than $600 million to break even. That's for all of the marketing and other production costs.
Yeah, that's the thing. Money was spent on marketing. That is a part of a film's budget. And I have no idea what happens behind closed doors, but I just always hope that, like, especially in the cases of films like John Carter or especially Dredd, that marketing is made accountable for some level of backlash in this. I mean, like, that they aren't able to just do such a poor job and just walk away, go home and keep getting paid the same amount they're getting paid and laughing it up. Like, I like to believe accountability is there on the right heads, but I don't know if I'm living in a dream world. So we'll find out someday. What were we talking about?
It was a TV at one point. I kind of lost track after that.
Right. Yeah, get a Blu-ray player and buy Dredd.
The sad thing is, this thing has like two different ways to hook up to my computer, which I really want to do to put some Kamen Rider and Borderlands on my new fancy TV. None of those options can reach right now.
Oh, you need a cable? Like, you need a longer cable?
Yeah. Today was a nightmare, so I couldn't run out to get a cable for it. So
don't run out and get any of the cables that you need. Order them online.
New egg.
I know I keep hearing that. I kind of need one for the weekend, though.
Don't get Monster, as far as I recall. Is that still a thing? Like, is that still the thing?
Still exists and overcharges you by a factor of 70 to 100.
Okay. Because I haven't bought a cable in, like, a year and a half, so
You can get the cables that you need on Amazon for, like, $2.
Yeah.
$3.
Well, I've got a bunch of those on the way. Right now, just to try it out, I'm trying to figure out how to get my PC hooked up over where the TV is.
Just drag the, like, worst case, if you got them on the way, just drag the box over temporarily.
Just drag your PC over temporarily.
Because, Steam has the big picture thing, right?
Big picture mode, yep.
I want to try that, because my computer is in a different room from our large TV. So I don't want to drag it over there, because I'd have to, like, plug it from the heart of the desk body it inhabits, and that's like surgery. So I don't want to, but I want to know how big picture works. But end of the day, congrats, 50 inch TV, woo.
Well, that's it for me. I can't really top that.
Well, I got a 51 inch TV, ha.
That was the joke, because I told my dad, no, I'm getting a 50-inch TV. He's like, that's as big as mine. Uh-huh. Can you get a smaller one? No. I'm worried he's going to head off to Best Buy someday and just, like, usurp me.
Yeah, 52-inch or 48-inch and a 12-inch. He'll be like, my cubic circumference is... are larger than yours.
You like one of those, like, TV stacks from the 90s?
Oh, man, those would be badass. Anyway, sounds like that's all that we got this week. So, that's all that we got this week for you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to episode 236 of WTF at TFW2005.com. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail... our voicemail inbox on Google, the number for that would be this that I'm about to say. It is 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. That is 318-775-9830. That's been myself, Evangelist. That's been Aaron. And that's been Omegas Prime. Thank you for tuning in. And we'll be back again next week with more Transformers-ing. Let's see if even more news comes out over the next week. Every day, let's have 5 days of solid crazy news, and then we'll have Toy Fair. It'll be a good time. 6 hour podcast. Yeah.
some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.